The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
And today is Tuesday, January 15th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the gunman who fired shots inside a UPS facility in New Jersey and took two women hostage was shot and killed by police, authorities confirmed yesterday. 39-year-old William Owens of Sicklerville, New Jersey, was hit by police gunfire after he and the hostages had exited the building, the state attorney general's office said. Owens was armed with a handgun at the time. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Authorities say the two female hostages were not harmed. Those shots were fired by Owens when he first entered the building. No injuries were reported. Employees have said the suspect was angry at his ex-girlfriend, who was one of the women he took hostage, and said that he was going to kill her. Owens was not an employee at the UPS facility, family members said, but he did work at another business at the same industrial park. The incident happened at the facility in the 200 block of Birch Creek Road. Authorities say the suspect entered the building shortly before 8:30 on Monday morning and fired shots. Hostage negotiators began talking to the gunman by phone as he held the women in a barricaded room. Shortly before noon, a short burst of gunfire was heard from the area of the facility. The prosecutor didn't say how many shots were fired by police or whether the gunman fired shots at them. The UPS facility will reopen today, and support is being offered for employees who witnessed the terrifying and dramatic standoff.
I am interested in the details of this and how it ended, because if you catch the video and you hear the gunshots, there was a lot of gunfire going on.
A lot.
And I'm curious if he started that, or if they did they get the hostages out of there, or did
they make some pinpoint shots
and get him, you know? I mean,
so he didn't surrender. They didn't get the hostages out of there. He walked out with the two women. And apparently, I'm sure more will come out about this, because this was an ex-girlfriend, but his current girlfriend ended up talking to, I was watching some of it on 6ABC this morning, and they said, does he have a mental illness? And all she said was maybe.
So he had already discharged a few rounds, they said.
At the start of it.
He was. He said he wanted to kill the girlfriend. He came out and was using them as hostages as he came out. And I was watching one of the SWAT team members or somebody say, at that point, the protocol is you believe if he's looking to transport them to another place, he's, you know, that you cannot let that happen. Mm. So that's where they took him out.
Yeah. So the two women, fortunately, were not injured. No one else inside the facility was injured. And I was surprised to hear they are reopening the facility today. But they
so was I. Be, yeah.
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 Surprising. But they are reopening. And they said they'll have people, if employees want to talk to someone, they will have support available.
But honestly, in this day and age, when you hear just one fatality and something like that,
yeah.
I hate.
It's a relief.
Yeah, it was a relief.
It's a relief. I mean, I'll just leave it.
That nobody else was hurt.
Yeah.
Although major delays are being reported at airports across the country, with more than double the number of TSA screeners calling out sick, no problems are being reported yet at the Philadelphia International Airport. The head of the TSA union in Philadelphia predicts problems will spread quickly if the shutdown doesn't end soon. Joe Shooker says sooner or later, these guys are going to break. They're not going to have any means to come to work. With more than 700 TSA workers missed their first paycheck on Saturday, many living paycheck to paycheck, TSA union officials said once the money runs out, many might not be able to make it to work. At the Atlanta airport yesterday, the long lines that snaked all the way back to the baggage claim, they said several security lanes that are normally open to the public during rush remained closed, and some people were missing their flights. They are struggling in cities like Washington and Houston, where a terminal was shut down over the weekend and expected to remain closed today. A spokeswoman for the TSA said the agency would shift screeners around the country to respond to shortages that crop up. With the first deployments to Atlanta and Houston, the agency said the screeners would not incur out-of-pocket expenses in the reassignments.
Some airports are employing the pinky swear. Expediting the lines a little bit more.
I'm wondering if anybody's changing their travel plans because it looks like this ain't going anywhere.
Isn't going away. You know, and I really do feel bad for the government employees, because some of them do live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And with the first paycheck not coming in and now they're going on to a second one, that's tough for people.
Yeah, most definitely.
The new Google 2018 year in search report revealed the most searched food last year was unicorn cake.
Unicorn cake?
Really?
I've never had.
It's not a specific flavor of cake, but rather how a cake is decorated to make it look like a unicorn.
Ground up unicorn.
Other popular food-related searches, including the keto diet, keto recipes, and romaine lettuce. Unicorn-themed food was quite a hit throughout 2018 between Target's Unicorn Magic Ice Cream, Dr. Pepper's Unicorn Label, the Snack Pack Pudding's Magical Unicorn Flavor, and even Sam's Club had a three-tier Santa Unicorn Cake this holiday season.
What was the flashpoint for this unicorn resurgence?
I don't know, but you know what? My oldest, Casey, loves unicorns. I'm a little bit bummed out.
Is it off a toy?
It's the toys. Yeah, the toys came out. And unicorn and glitter and slime and all of that was, for the little girls.
I keep going back to Central Intelligence in the movie and The Rock. Yo, I'm big into corns, man.
But ever since Toy Story with Buttercup was the unicorn from Toy Story, my daughter's been a unicorn person. So this resurgence kind of bums me out because I'm like, oh, man.
Well, she's a little too old for it now?
Well, no. She was a pioneer.
No.
She was a unicorn pioneer.
A unicorn, a trendsetter.
Yeah.
So Chuck Yeager of unicorns.
So the most searched food in 2018, according to Google, is unicorn cake. Although they do look pretty cool. I looked at some of the pictures. For a little girl's birthday party, that would be awesome.
They're boss.
Oh, I'm sure you could make one just like the pictures you've seen. Nailed it.
Would you like me to try?
Please do.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers beat the Minnesota Wild 7-4 last night in South Philly. Yeah, James Van Riemsdyk scored a hat trick, and Nolan Patrick had two goals and two assists to lead the Flyers to the win. JVR scored a power play goal in the first, scored on a deflection late in the same period, and added an empty net goal with a minute 17 remaining in the third. He has five goals and two assists during the three-game point streak after having just 1 point in his previous seven games. The quick homestand wraps up tomorrow night with a game against the Boston Bruins. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. The Sixers return to the hard court with a game at home tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Sixers are in fourth place in the Eastern Conference at 28-16, while the Timberwolves are a game under 500 and in 11th place in the West to 21-22. Tip-off tonight is set for 7 o'clock. President Donald Trump paid tribute to college football champion Clemson for winning the college football playoff national championship at the White House ceremony. Trump said that he paid for their meal of American fast food because of the partial government shutdown, but did not disclose the tab. Spokeswoman Sarah Sanders said much of the staff that works in the White House residence has been furloughed due to the shutdown. Silver trays held stacks of wrapped burgers from Wendy's and box burgers from McDonald's. Nick Foles is looking for a starting gig, and Carson Wentz is hoping to be back leading the Eagles next season. The two quarterbacks spoke in the Eagles locker room yesterday as players cleaned out their lockers. Foles conceded that his goal is to land a starting job. The Eagles can exercise a $20 million option in Foles' contract in 2019, but the quarterback can buy his way out of the option and into free agency by paying back $2 million, and that means that he can be a free agent this offseason. Foles, who considered retirement a few years ago, turns 30 on January 20th. And until the beginning of February, the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, Kathy, money. Let's give away some money today. I really want to do this. We have $1,000 that's up for grabs for Go Fund Yourself. Our contest is going to be around 8 o'clock, as close to that as we can get it. And anybody who enters could possibly win $10,000 in the grand prize. So let's make sure we are alert and aware and ready to go around 8 o'clock. We have a guest stopping by today. Our friend Craig Gass is going to be
here. Yes, Craig.
He will be performing at Valley Forge Casino on Friday, but he's popping in a little bit early to say hello, and we'll catch up with him and see what's going on in his world. And also, I only have a couple of these left. In fact, I have two of them. I'm going to hang on to them for now, not at this very moment, but we have that screening of the movie Glass tonight. M. Night Shyamalan's film is opening on Friday, and we have a screening at the Ritz East tonight.
So excited.
Yeah, I'm stoked about seeing this movie. So we'll have your chance to get on board. Free movie on us, so why not? These things and more are going to be coming up during the course of today's program. So why don't you just hang on? We'll take a quick break, come back in a moment, start some giveaways with the stupid question, and I have a whole stack of entertainment stories I'm going to run by you. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit jfbb.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Still. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show if he answered this question correctly for our stupid question this morning. There are only two countries in the world that have the color purple in their national flags. Name one of them. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. All right. So only two countries in the world have the color purple in their national flags. Just give me one of them. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Birthdays today, while we're waiting for your answer. Tuesday, January 15th is the date. Just a few today, and we started with a musical one yesterday. I'll wait till Casey's ready. I'll go to another one.
All right, you kept moving the paper around.
Like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Read it.
God like, damn
every
you.
Time you basically, like,
here's how this works. After the stupid question, I say, you know, we'll go through the birthdays, and then I hold up the paper that had the birthdays on it for Casey to see so he can pull up some music.
Preston, just do it like this every morning.
And I guess my hand was moving around a little bit. We'll start with this one. Actress Regina King.
Oh, I love her.
Just won a Critics' Choice Award.
Yeah. We were just talking about her for If Beale Street Could Talk.
That's her second award for that.
Yeah.
And she is also producing movies, and she came into the studio a couple times. We love her.
We had a lot of fun.
Can fully anticipate Preston and Steve, the movie.
She's in Boys in the Hood and Ray.
But she's so cool.
Legally Blonde, too. Yeah, she's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Celebrating her 48th birthday today. All right, you ready, Case?
Yes, I'm ready.
Adam Jones of Tool.
Celebrates.
Celebrates his birthday today.
So
apparently makes people go rah.
The word is, it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maynard has put down his vocals already, so they're in the middle of mixing. I wouldn't expect anything right off the bat, but stuff is recorded and ready to be mixed. So that is way further along than, you know, a couple of years ago.
I remember, Preston, listening, like hardcore listening to that last album around the time we stuck Joe up on the toilet. That's how long ago.
Wow. That was ages ago.
Yeah.
It has been quite a while, but new music coming soon. And it better live up to the wait.
It can't be like a China crisis.
Chinese democracy,
yeah.
Adam Jones, 54 years old today. Mario Van Peebles, actor and writer, and has he directed as well?
Yes, he has.
Okay.
His dad is actually a very famous director, directed a lot of what is called blaxploitation movies.
Yeah.
I like him. What's the Clint Eastwood movie?
Heartbreak Ridge.
Heartbreak Ridge, I said.
Yeah. It is a guilty pleasure.
It's really not a very good movie.
Stupid. But, you know...
It has to do with the invasion of Granada.
But Clint is Clint in all his glory in that, and Mario plays this kind of, you know... Like, why did these guys even join the Marines in the first place?
It was voluntary.
Right.
It wasn't like there was a major land invasion from Grenada. You know, and yet they're in there, and it's like, well, dude, you signed up.
Yeah, none of them actually want to be Marines, and yet they all ended up in the same group together. It's stupid.
He's got, like, these earrings, like a ton of earrings, dangly earrings.
The Army, that's perfect for me.
But New Jack City and Ali and a bunch of other
I love
movies.
New Jack City.
You know what? I liked it, too. It's been a long, long, long time since I've seen it, but
Chris
at the
Rock
time,
was awesome.
That's where Chris Rock showed that he could act. Judd Nelson, really good.
So he's 62 today, Mario Van Peebles. And the last birthday I saw, Steve, you love Andrea Martin. I do, too.
Oh.
All the way back to SCTV.
Unbelievable.
She's hilarious.
She does so many great characters. But the one that I really, really love a lot is the one that she would play on Half Wits, which was sort of this punk rocky-looking idiot. You know, the parody of Jeopardy. And Eugene Levy would play Alex Trebek. But she's just great.
And I love her in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yes.
She's the really over-the-top. She's so tiny, but she's got such a big voice. She's trying to explain that the fiancé is a vegetarian. Right. And she goes, what do you mean you don't eat no meat? I mean, like, she just doesn't even comprehend that at all.
Right.
But she's great. She's 72 years old today, so happy birthday to everybody. So,
one more for you. Yeah.
Hopkins. Awesome. Had him by here not that long ago. Great guy. Man, talk about a guy who got his act together, got his life turned around. He was in prison at one point.
Unbelievable.
And class act.
54. Very inspirational.
And he's 54 today.
Yes, sir.
Happy birthday to Bernard Hopkins. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What are the only there are only two countries that have the color purple in their national flags. I just needed to name one of those. 215-263-WMMR is the number. And I will go to, let's go to Moik. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo, buddy. Looking for this answer. Give me one of the countries that has the color purple in its national flag.
Nicaragua.
Yeah. Correct. Hang on just a second, Mike. Four pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show. It is back February 2nd to the 10th. 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof. And there's nothing like it. You can visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details. The only other flag that has purple in its national, obviously the only has the color purple in its national flag is Spain. Nick has just pulled up the flag of Nicaragua. Dude, I barely see any purple in that at all.
I guess it's in the, there's a rainbow in the middle of the flag, and I guess it's in the rainbow itself.
Okay. Well, the end is purple, yeah.
Oh, the end too. Is purple.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Spain has purple in That's its fine, flag. Yeah. You would think they're more, purple's such a badass color.
Such a prince
it's
color.
Dazzling, yeah. You're right.
If Prince had his own country, he would have had a purple flag.
Absolutely. Prince should have had his own
he country. He should have.
I mean, he's a prince.
Died too young.
He's royalty, for Christ's sake. All right, let's get into some of the entertainment stuff. News of Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger's engagement landed with a bit of a thud on Twitter, bizarrely, with many fans pointing out that the pair had dated for less than a year.
Yes.
While others writing that he, quote, just got divorced.
Get to the chopper!
From Anna Faris. Family members, including Faris, embraced the pair's happiness, though. Pratt shared the news on Instagram, posting a pic of the moment. She said, yes, in the shot, the 29-year-old examines the seriously massive oval ring on her finger while he appears to be blissed out, smelling her hair with his eyes closed.
By the way, hair smells good.
The ring is a 5-carat diamond.
It's small.
Yeah, ranges in price from $200,000 to $550,000. While fans seem to be a little less enthralled, his ex Faris posted a sweet comment on the post that read, "I'm so happy for you both. Congratulations!"
Right now,
really?
They're class acts. They've been very civil about it.
Well, they have a kid, and they realize that it's not going to do anybody any good, especially the kid, to be contentious and fight. And so, like on Halloween, they went out together and did all that stuff. I think that's great. I do think. Listen, if this is the one, and he knows it's the one. There you go. 7 months, especially after just coming out of a divorce, I might have let it breathe a little bit.
But, you know, we'll see.
You can't fight love.
Schwarzenegger's mother, Maria Shriver, and her brother, Patrick Schwarzenegger, also piped up on Pratt's post and Schwarzenegger's subsequent post. And Shriver had written, "Love you. Enjoy this next chapter. Make it fun. You are so loved." So they seem to be happy.
I wonder. So they did. There were a series of pictures of him going out with Maria Shriver and Arnold to an event, and I wonder if that was where he asked, or if that was the time period where he asked for her hand.
It's a good question. Not sure exactly where or when he proposed.
That was him saying yes.
She's a lovely young lady.
She is.
Looking at some pictures of her, and approval. So as disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein's criminal trial looms, his lawyer is attempting to jump ship, according to reports.
That's not a good sign.
Benjamin Bratman is planning to appeal his New York Supreme, appeal to the New York Supreme Court Justice James Burke Jamie Burke, to rubber stamp his exit, according to Deadline. This comes less than 2 months before a scheduled hearing on Weinstein's rape case and less than 4 months before the trial.
Your Honor, my client is so guilty that it stinks.
Reps for Weinstein have not confirmed the story either way, but Deadline reports that unnamed sources say Weinstein was furious with Braffman because he was unable to get the whole case tossed last year at the December 20th hearing.
Well, that would have been tough.
Yeah, Braffman's pink slip, if actually issued, will follow a long tradition of celebrity lawyer fallouts. Bill Cosby fired more than a dozen lawyers when he didn't get the results he wanted during his criminal trial.
You're all worthless and weak!
And, of course, that ended with his current stint in jail, so it didn't work out very well for him.
Yes, he had a whole idea in mind of how he wanted it to proceed, and as per his plan, he ended up in jail.
Hey, did you see this about Hugh Grant?
I did.
He turned to social media to plead with the thief who broke into his car and any witnesses who saw the robbery. He tweeted that in the unlikely chance that anyone knows who broke into my car tonight and stole my bag, please try and persuade them to at least return my script. Grant added that there were many weeks' worth of notes and ideas in there.
Script is code for weed.
And while it's unclear what script got nabbed, he said that the thief or an accomplice could send the pilfered papers to a film company in West London. He just wants to get his script back.
My guess is that script is not coming back.
Yeah, probably not.
Does he mention for what?
No, he said he didn't, not what project or anything along those
lines. There was something that he was on Netflix just recently that I started. It was about something like a very British scandal. It was really good. Did any of you watch that or fish it?
I think he got nominated for it, though. Didn't he get a Golden Globe?
It was really good. I just didn't complete it.
He has a gay relationship with somebody else in Parliament or something like that, Steve? Yeah, okay.
Okay. Look that up, Nick, see if you can find that title. Paddington 2?
Nope.
I saw Paddington 2, though. He's adorable.
This one that Steve first was talking about before Paddington 2 was a very English scandal.
There you go.
That's it.
This is a follow-up story from yesterday. Amid her split from Colt Johnson, Larissa dos Santos Lima.
Yes.
This is from 90 Day Fiancé.
Which I now have to start watching since apparently
too.
They beat the crap out of each other.
Because that's what she did. She has now been charged three times, or at least she was arrested twice for domestic battery and then arrested again. So she took to Instagram to ask fans for help. She was released from the Clark County Detention Center after being arrested on charge of domestic battery over the weekend. After her arrest, Johnson filed for divorce. On Sunday, Lima told her followers on Instagram that a GoFundMe page she had originally set up and had been taken down and reported. She talks about it. She continued asking for new donations to hire lawyers because she can't legally work in the U.S. She said, it's important to me, the immigration attorney, the divorce attorney, the criminal attorney, the kind of attorney I have to talk to about my case.
Does she have any attorney that wears a cowboy hat?
Maybe that's her problem.
That's what she needs. Mm-hmm.
She said on Instagram, She said on Instagram, I not feel happy about it. I not feel proud about it. But it's something that I really need. Mm. And added, to come here to beg, it's really sad for me. She also accused TLC of making her say things that would make her look bad on 90 Day Fiancé. She said,
you made me say this.
Her friend Danielle said, there's a lot of things you guys don't know. She said this on Instagram Live, alleging that the show is scripted. The show portrayed her in a way she is not.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well,
are you saying a reality show can be scripted?
No, yeah, no. But I'm wondering if they continued to consult her as she was assaulting her husband.
Here, come over here. Can you beat the crap out of him? What was that? I'm listening.
The cameras won't be rolling or anything. Yeah. Just go ahead and
beat the piss out of them.
Kate Beckinsale clapped back at an Instagram user who asked her if her friend Stephen Simbari was her son. This is the guy she's dated.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So the pair watched the L.A. Lakers play the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Well, he was in a high chair.
At the Staples Center in L.A., and when she posted this shot, a user suggested she could be Simbari's mother.
She's gorgeous.
What happened to Pete Davidson?
Yeah.
You reported last week that she went on a couple dates with Pete Davidson.
Yes, I don't know, man.
Or that she at least left.
Or maybe this is just a friend. Maybe this is quite literally just a friend of hers. So
maybe it's her son's friend.
Beckinsale replied, he is my son. Yes, I kept him in the cellar for 29 years, but now I feel I should take him out on
That's
joints.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I like that response.
He does look young, but come on, Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah.
To be with that?
Oh, my God.
She's a mega MILF.
Okay.
Well, all right, hang on a second. He's not like that hot or anything like that. That's what I have a more of a problem with.
He should be
not
up, his he age. Should be up to your level of hotness.
He needs to be like, you know, model hot. And he's not model
Why?
Hot.
Why? You know what though?
Because look at her.
Yeah, no, it's good awesome enough. For the average guy.
I guess you're
it's
right.
It's inspirational.
Beckinsale.
So it would be on. Okay if it was a George Clooney. Nobody would question
he
it
thought
then.
He didn't have a chance with Kate Beckinsale. But then a young therapist came in. I'm going to show you every reason why you deserve a Kate Beckinsale. From Touchstone Pictures, you deserve Kate Beckinsale.
That's the name of the movie? You yeah. deserve Kate Beckinsale? I love it.
What's that about?
By the way, we have a variety of new pieces of music to play whenever we go into that movie trailer thing. So there you go. That would always make
and
you feel good.
A relationship was born. She would take him to all the best Chuck E. Cheese's and make sure he had a high chair so he could eat his pizza.
All right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right. We're done.
Okay. Yeah, we're done.
But then love bloomed.
All right. So let's move over to Nicole Kidman for a moment. She says she was mortified when she unwittingly snubbed Rami Malek on stage at the Golden Globes. As many will recall, Malek appeared to try to get her attention multiple times, but the 51-year-old appeared to spurn his attempts. She said,
spurned all over him.
We're really good friends. I just did not feel his hand on my back. She said, I love that man. He's so gentle and softly spoken. He's a darling. He sent me an email about the incident, and I sent him an email, and we were laughing at him. So silly.
You could have him. Yeah. If you did see it, it was rather uncomfortable when they're on stage because he's clearly trying to get her attention. It didn't look as if she was intentionally blowing him off.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Saturday Night Live has revealed its second 44 host of the year.
It's 244th host of the year.
What the hell does that mean? It's second 44th. Host of the that makes
well, I
no
think
sense.
Maybe it's the 44th season, so perhaps that's where this number came from.
Okay. Oh, I gotcha.
All right, do it again.
It's second. That still doesn't make any sense.
All right. All right.
Saturday Night Live has revealed its second 44 host of the year.
Is that a combination
blah, blah,
lock?
Blah. James McAvoy, who will be in M. Night Shyamalan's latest film, Glass, which you have a screening tonight for.
Well, he's been making the rounds. So yesterday he was on Good Morning America, and he was on Colbert.
Yeah, I mean, they were all up in New York yesterday, yeah.
He will host January 26th, where he will be joined by Meek Mill.
Do you know what the really cool part about this whole thing and him being up there doing that, Preston?
What?
Is that they get to blow us off.
Yeah. Isn't that nice of them? At least they all have that in common.
Yeah.
Rachel Brosnan is hosting with Greta Van Fleet as the musical guest. And both McAvoy and Brosnan are both SNL first-time hosts.
I like him. He's super talented.
Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
Haven't said that name out loud in a while.
Not for a while.
says that he has a new outlook on life after revealing his HIV diagnosis 3 years ago. Wow, those three,
oh, I forgot.
Three years ago. Freaking years ago.
Yeah. He said, I try not to think too far down the line, you know.
Like till Wednesday.
He told Us Weekly exclusively while attending the California Strong Celebrity Softball game, benefiting the local response effort. He said, I made some changes to give myself a shot to do some cool things professionally.
Oh, he finally took that grill out.
And I'm proud of finally being consistent and reliable and noble.
That was epic.
Yeah. He took his grill.
Torpedo of Truth. Yeah, he has that ridiculous grill that he wears periodically.
Yeah,
he
was all on Madonna. Tooth, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, that's ridiculous. Made him look like a drug dealer.
Oh, my God.
Radical.
Well, the wintry rate for Game of Thrones isn't over, but fans at least officially know when the surprise will end. HBO had announced over the weekend, and I didn't get a chance to get this yet, that the Signature Series will begin its final season on April 14th. The service had previously said only that the show will return in April. Just 6 episodes remain of the program, although many installments of the 8th and final season are expected to run longer than an hour as producers endeavor to bring the TV version of George R.R. Martin's epic fantasy tale to a satisfying close.
Are you going
to
make it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I
am on the third episode of the third season. So I'm trucking along very, very well.
I started. I got about 4 episodes in a while ago and got distracted by 99 other TV shows. So what I figure I'll do is let it complete and then pick it up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. After it's
let
all
it complete,
over.
And then I can do it at a more leisure because I was trying to run down the clock.
Yeah.
And you've been doing it like every day.
Yeah, I've been watching every
freaking day.
Every day I've been trying to, I've been fitting in like 1.25 episodes every day. I did the math and I'll need to, I need to stay that consistent in order to get it all done because there were, I think there are 77 episodes altogether.
Are you going to watch them in real time or are you going to let them accrue and then?
Oh, when the new episode?
Right,
when
yeah.
No, I'll watch them in real time.
All right, okay.
I'll watch them the next day. It comes on a little late for me, so I'll watch them the next day.
So last night I started watching The Passage, you know, on Fox, and I will watch that every week. I'll do it that way. Though you have a sort of a split feeling on it now because there are so many shows that you can binge, one right after another, that it's harder to wait till the next episode.
It is. Yeah. And so I was I had read The Passage along with Preston, so I have an idea of, like, you know, what to expect and everything. And I was a little bit disappointed that it was going to be on Fox for a couple of reasons. A, was that reason.
Yeah.
Is that I can't go on to the next episode and I have to wait a week.
They had to tamp down a lot of the stuff. I assume it's a little bit gorier.
No, listen. They can. It's at 9 o'clock, so they can get away with some things. But I was also like, I'm nervous that if people don't watch it, then it
go bye bye.
It go bye bye.
Yeah, it's a really good book. So hopefully they continue on with it. By the way, the premiere of April 14th for Game of Thrones will put the series finale date at May 19th.
It's only 6 episodes, right?
6 episodes, but they're like probably going to be like an hour and a half.
Hour and a half long. Wow.
Yeah, so 6 like movies.
6 movies,
which is great.
Freaking awesome. Chasing Rainbows, The Road to Oz, a new bio-musical about Judy Garland, has received a rare endorsement from her daughter, Liza Minnelli, and the Garland Estate. Liza said, "My mother said that her biography is in her music, and now a talented creative team is using that music to tell the story of her early years and her extraordinary rise to fame." She said, "I'm grateful and happy that they're telling the fascinating story of her early history."
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's been, Liza Minnelli's been very critical of past projects concerning Judy Garland.
Yeah.
She's very protective of her mom, though, you know, her mom towards the end was like really out there.
They have a good relationship?
They had a good relationship, and then a strained relationship, and then a good relationship, and then a strained relationship. But at the end, it was good.
Yeah, they were. It was a troubled life. At some point,
they got away from her. Yeah, at different points in their lives,
they both married. They both married gay men later to get divorced, and they both had issues with addiction. And Judy Garland was so staggeringly terrified of going on stage often that she had to be hypnotized. She's such the complete entertainer.
So insanely talented.
Yeah.
One of the most amazing voices to ever, be recorded. So, that'll be an interesting story. Hey, DeWanda Wise and Jessica Williams have joined the Jordan Peele led revival of The Twilight Zone, which is headed for CBS All Access. What is CBS All
Access? It's the app. It resides in my gaping app hole.
You can also, it's an app.
Speaking, more things are falling into your
my gaping app hole.
How do you have room in there?
It's the one that has the Star Trek show on it as well. And then you have, you know, there's the DC app.
Yeah.
So you have that. That has apparently a great series with Nightwing and all these DC, secondary DC characters.
Yeah.
I'm not watching it.
No, it's also like if you have a Roku or something like
that. Yes.
It's the only app that costs money.
Okay. I'm an idiot. What's a Roku?
So Roku is a streaming
box. Like an Amazon Fire, like one of those things that you stick in the back of your TV into your HDMI ports. It's streaming.
Apple TV is a streaming. It's like a Roku. Same thing.
If you're a cord cutter, it's something you stick in the back of your box, back of your TV.
You jam it in your gaping apple.
Right. Well, that's too bad because I want to see The Twilight Zone.
And I don't want to have to jump through a bunch of hoops to have to see it.
Do you know what? It's not even really jumping through hoops. What the problem is that you've got a lot that you're already juggling. You're probably on Hulu for Bridesmaids, right? Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
You're on Netflix. You're on what else? You're on Amazon Prime. Do you have that as well?
I think so.
Okay, so you've got a couple. So you keep adding and adding all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
How much TV can you watch?
Yeah, I'm trying to find that out right now, Steve. So
I'm taking it to the limit.
Yeah,
I've had to cut back.
I started watching
only 100 shows a night.
Watched that Roma on Netflix yesterday.
Yeah,
good. Snorefest.
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 I watched Tony Roma.
What's Roma about?
It's Alfonso Cuarón, whatever. It's set in the, I don't know.
It's miserable people.
It's set in Mexico in the 70s, 80s. I don't know. It's the story of these.
Did you actually watch it?
I fell asleep. Okay. I fell asleep. Dude, at one point.
Trying to get something out of him.
Because I couldn't tell you. This one woman is, she's like a helper.
And then there's
this,
a person who receives
house.
The help.
No, she's like a nanny.
It keeps winning awards, which is why you want to watch it. And it might get nominated for Best Picture for an Oscar, and I get it. But I mean, like, if you're bored by it, you're bored by it.
Wait a minute, Casey, it's black and white.
Yeah, well.
Are there subtitles?
It's not necessary, and there's subtitles,
too. Oh, I can't believe you're checked into this at all.
Yeah, I know.
This is not a Casey vehicle?
It's not necessarily that it's black and white that bothers me. Usually black and white movies are old movies, and I think that the acting is terrible in those
Father,
movies.
I've brought you a cookie. I will have this cookie, because it represents your memories of your mother.
But I fall asleep at one point, right?
And I've been watching this fly on the window all day. It's plight that speaks to me, the survival of one day. Where's the goddamn cookie?
That's what it's like, right?
It's so
Casey,
slow.
Here's a movie if you want to watch another movie that I get. I love artistic films. I do. Subtitles, not an issue. Black and white, not an issue. But sometimes movies get, I think they get lauded because critics don't want to admit that they think it's not, that it's boring. House of Fog and Sand, Kathy.
Oh,
you've seen
God.
This movie.
Sand and Fog,
glacial misery.
Okay, if you want to know what this movie is like, just watch the opening credits before the movie even starts.
Right.
And that'll give you an indication on what this movie is like for 2 hours. So slow. So slow.
I love artistic movies. Yes. I'm a huge fan of Godzilla.
Yeah.
So no. And this is a case where.
But I want to tell you something funny because I fell asleep, and then I wake up. I don't even know. Maybe a half hour later. No, to a part of the movie where there's literally a guy doing like martial arts with a staff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But he's full frontal naked, balls and everything swinging, and that's what I woke up to. And it's like, and it's all one static shot for like 10 minutes. I'm like, what? What the hell is happening right now? The car was just driving over dog poop. And that was another one. Close-up shot of a car tire smushing dog poop.
I get it. Listen, I don't think I'm going to check it out.
No, don't.
Yeah.
No.
I can, if you want movies that are slow and artistic, that like Akira Kurosawa does some great stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the Japanese director. But sometimes I just think these things are pompous.
Yeah.
You know, I like Beethoven. That was a good movie.
That dog
was adorable.
It was, and when they had him
slobbered
up to the table.
Oh my God!
Back to you, Preston.
Thanks, Casey. This has been a Casey moment.
Yeah.
All right. This is maybe speaking your language. Adam McKay has now discussed the possibility of directing a Silver Surfer movie.
I love this.
With Marvel Studios. McKay has long been rumored to be on the verge of directing a Marvel Cinematic Universe film, or an MCU, after turning down the Ant-Man gig following Edgar Wright's departure. He did, however, work with Paul Rudd to write the film script and has since been linked to a handful of MCU gigs.
He's a massive fan of Marvel, and this would be perfect. You're a Silver Surfer fan, aren't you, Preston?
Yeah, I don't know a whole ton about the storylines, but I always loved that character.
Such an enigmatic character. Yeah.
In recent weeks, he's confirmed that Inhumans was on the table before it was turned into a TV series, which is too bad because it didn't do well at all.
No.
And that Marvel even wanted him to get involved with Spider-Man Far From Home. Marvel's offers haven't stopped there as they also approach him about directing Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, but that isn't the cosmic property he's interested in. He was interested in Silver Surfer.
This story is
Please going to, have at it.
Yeah, this story is going to continue, right? Because I'm sort of going into like a little pre-depression just knowing that Avengers 4 is coming and then that is going to be the end of a major chapter, and I want that story to continue.
Well, you have every confidence that they have not dropped the ball yet.
Yeah.
And this master plan is proceeding, and you can't argue with how good it is. I'll give you a little teaser that I've heard.
Yeah.
In this next Infinity War Endgame movie, cameo possibly by Wolverine.
No.
I don't want to hear that stuff.
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
It would be very interesting being the world of mutants into that. It doesn't quite fit, but if they could do it well, that'd be great. So is the question you're asking, Casey, is after this final, after this Endgame movie, is that it for not just Marvel? Because Marvel's going to continue on.
Sure.
Clearly, right. they've got a, you know, I mean, it's money in the bank. It's ridiculous. But you want to see more Iron Man. You want to see more of these characters that we've grown attached to.
You will. You may not see them with Robert Downey Jr. as he ages out of that.
Yeah.
You may see a reboot. You may see them go in the other directions that the comic books went. With Riri, I believe her name is, who female Iron Woman, I guess.
Okay.
But there's all sorts of options and possibilities.
Yeah. And Captain America's mortality is on the line now.
Yes, it is.
They'll probably kill him off in this last one.
Well, at some point, doesn't the Winter Soldier become Captain America?
Takes over as Captain America. Yeah, so we'll see if that ends up happening. But anyhow.
Anywho, Kathy.
It's Adam McKay, and we know Adam McKay, which is awesome.
I texted him yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I got my screener copy of Vice. I haven't seen it yet, but we're in SAG-AFTRA in the same union, by the way, is Adam McKay.
By the way, keep going at him because we want to do something with Step Brothers.
Yeah, he was in town for less than 24 hours in December, and I was trying to get him to come in. He literally had zero time. So
all right, no. He's a good dude.
He is a good dude. He really likes coming on our show, so we'll talk to him again soon.
But Marvel Studios' plans for some of these characters is still unknown, but it appears McKay's interest could help make a Silver Surfer movie more likely. So we shall see. We're ready for clips. So let's do these now. The new year has brought a new season of A Series of Unfortunate Events. The show, based on the book series of the same name, has a colorful cast of characters which drew a plethora of talented actors. And here Neil Patrick Harris talks about why he loves this project.
The whole point of making this entire thing was honoring Daniel Handler, Lemony Snicket's books, and doing 13 books worth. So what's fun for me is doing this as an actor as a series, because I know it's finite.
You got it, dude.
Anybody else watch this besides me?
I have seen a little bit. Yeah.
I really like it. It's got humor for adults, and Patrick Warburton is the narrator. It weaves storylines in, and Neil Patrick Harris is fantastic. It's really well done.
It's much darker than the movie.
And it's trippy, too. I mean, they'll do stuff that you would not expect. I mean, ostensibly, it's a kid's show, but it's not really just a kid's show.
This is a kid's show.
All right, let's do the next clip. Ellen's Game of Games plucks contestants out of the audience to compete for a chance at $100,000. Most of the game show's stunts were originally created for Ellen DeGeneres' talk show, and here she describes her favorite. Here we go.
There's a game, Don't Leave Me Hanging. There's a game, You Bet Your Wife. And they're suspended in the air, hanging from the rafters in a harness. You know how you do. And if you lose, you get dropped down into either meringue pie, and it sounds fun, but it's not, or mashed potatoes, or whatever else we think of that day and that we have left over from Crafty.
Ellen's Game of Games airs tonight, 8 o'clock on NBC, so we'll see if she's got the chops for that.
That's a big set kind of Double Dare approach to game shows.
Yeah, so we'll see if it pans out. That is what I have for you this morning in the Entertainment Report. A couple of things to let you know about. We have the Go Fund Yourself contest coming up around 8 o'clock. We're going to give you a special keyword that might net you $1,000 and then may even beyond that earn you $10,000. So I don't want you to miss that opportunity. We do it five times a day, 8, 1, 11, 1, and 4, and 6. Your first chance coming up at 8 a.m. Do not miss it. I want to give away. Only have two pair of these left. I'm going to give away one now. We have a screening of the movie Glass tonight. Yes. Very much looking forward to that at the Ritz East, 7:30. We'll take caller number 10 at 215-263-WMMR Glass Hits Theaters nationwide Friday, January 18th. So we've got it in advance. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Our buddy Craig Gass is scheduled to be here. So when Craig gets here, bring him right into the studio. He's got a gig coming up at Valley Forge Casino on Friday night. We'll be right back.
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Our next guest is going to be performing Friday, Valley Forge Casino. And a fun fact about our guest, he's one of the last people in the world who has not ordered anything on Amazon ever.
Wow. Yeah. Ever.
Please welcome Craig Gass to the show.
What's happening, guys?
This morning. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I was. I listened to the very beginning of the show. I've never heard the roll call. I didn't realize how many people work on this show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a shuttle launch.
Has it just been growing every year and I just didn't notice
it? No, it's the same. It's pretty much been the same for how long, Preston? Since 2005?
This exact group, 2005. But even before that. Marissa was the addition.
Yeah.
I was driving in. What were you going
to
say?
No, Steve joked about the shuttle launch, but Preston has in the past actually done a go-no-go.
Yeah.
Flight, absolutely. No flight. I'm driving in and I'm hearing Preston and Steve featuring Preston.
Yes.
Steve. Casey's still in third place. Featuring Daryl Hammond.
What?
Tim Meadows.
Tim Meadows. Leslie Jones.
Steve Kazurinski.
I couldn't believe how long it was going. I was like, wow, what an impressive one. I didn't realize how many people were here. Every time I come in, it gets bigger and bigger, and the media side is bigger.
The interns, we have interns and the people who are producing the show. But, after, you know, there was a point in time in which we realized we wanted a fuller sound with people interacting. And, you know, we hit the right number. But along with that, you've got to have some sort of chemistry. So we locked on it a while ago, and we've stayed with it, and it seems to work out. So.
Well, it's always great to be back here. I spent several hours last night listening to all my appearances on this show, and it was very demoralizing.
Very demoralizing. Are you overly critical of yourself?
I hate hearing myself.
Why?
I can't stand it. Nobody likes listening to yourself. I always tell comedians, anybody wants to get into comedy, if you want to get in, you got to film yourself. You got to watch your material. It's the most painful thing you'll go through.
Yeah.
And that's what I went through last night. I listened to like 5 or 6 hours of appearances over the last 10, 11 years because I wanted to make sure I don't repeat material. Brian Regan does a thing that he was famous for where he would stop into radio stations and he'd make notes of everything he'd said at your radio station. And a year later, when he came back, he'd flip to that Philadelphia page, look at the Preston and Steve appearance, and he wouldn't. And I was like, that's amazing. All comedians should do that.
Is that what you're doing right now?
I made notes. Yeah.
That's great. I saw you writing.
But you know the problem is,
I have
Craig,
a thing about flying. Hey, take care and have a good flight. Take luck and take care. No.
Wait, do you follow Gary Goldman on Twitter, Craig?
I don't.
Do you know Gary Goldman?
Of course. Gary
Goldman
gave me a great line. I'll tell you in a second.
But. Well, the only reason I bring it up is that right now, since the beginning of the year, he's been tweeting out, he's been tweeting out helpful comedy hints to any aspiring comedian. And it's really practical stuff about writing your act down and literally writing down every word that you say when you're up on stage and then going over it and refining it and just the art of the and the craft of putting together an act. It's very impressive, and he's sharing all this stuff for free out on Twitter. It's really generous.
Gary had the funniest line, and I hate to say this. I actually said this on this show a few years ago, but right. Gary Goldman, I went to watch Kevin Hart perform at the football stadium here.
Yeah, the link, yeah.
Went right back to New York and told all these comedians, like, you're not going to believe this. I just saw Kevin Hart perform in front of 65,000 people, and all these comedians are going, what? And Goldman was the one who said, wait a minute. Kevin Hart's from Philly, right? And I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, so he's got family. I'm like, he doesn't have 65,000 family members. He's not a Mormon. I mean, you know. It's like, what are you talking about?
65,000.
But, yeah, I mean, you look at those kind of notes and what comedians are doing today versus, like, stuff that, like, Sam Kinison used to do. And I just think, like,
how do you write that down?
Yeah, I mean, Kinison, I saw an old interview with Sam Kinison on Bob Costas. Bob Costas used to have a late night show.
We loved it.
Letterman. There was Letterman, what was it, Johnny Carson, then Letterman, and then Bob Costas would be on doing a 30-minute sit-down.
Yeah, it was called Later.
Later with Bob Costas. Mm-hmm. And every subject that sat in that chair always had a moment where they went, oh, man, how did you know that? They were always blown away by his research.
Yeah.
He had Sam Kinison on his show. And I thought, what is Bob Costas going to know about Sam Kinison? And he goes, Sam, I used to watch you back at the Comedy Store back in the early 80s. And back then, your entire act was based on that day's obituaries. I remember thinking to myself, you know what? This guy's funny, but he's too dark, and he's never going to make it. And Sam explained the bit, and he said, yeah, I used to go on stage, and I would grab the obituaries from that day's newspaper and go on stage and go, hey, folks, my name is Sam Kinison, and
Well, thank you guys for coming out. Thanks for supporting stand-up comedy. I'll tell you a couple people you won't be seeing here tonight. He would just start reading.
Oh, my God.
People who just died.
Yeah.
You go, like, Esther Goldberg.
Wait to see if she was there.
No, no, she didn't catch the bus. She's not here. But apparently, if you want to see Esther's work, it'll be on display this Friday at Evergreen Mortuary. It was so dark and so, wow. like Kinison would get material from blackouts. Like he would. I perform at the Comedy Store all the time, and there's a guy who plays piano at the Comedy Store who told me, "Hey, I got a story for you. I don't know if you can use it or not, but." Sam and I were at a party one night where Sam had a pile of Coke on this mirror, and he was having a conversation, and he passed the Coke to a woman behind him who he didn't realize was 8 months pregnant.
Oh, my God.
And everyone goes, Sam, what are you doing? He goes, oh, man, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry. I didn't do that intentionally. And everyone goes, Sam, she's giving birth next month. And he goes, well, plus you don't want the kid coming out next month going, where's the dealer's pager? Oh, oh! And he said, a month later, I'm in a car with Sam. We're driving over the Hollywood Hills. And I go, remember that party we were at where you tried to give coke to the girl that was pregnant? And he said, Sam's face was completely blank. And he goes, the girl that was pregnant, and you had that great line. What was the line you said? Oh, you said, oh, plus you don't want the kid coming out going, where's the dealer's pager? Oh, oh. And he said, Sam just looked at him and went, oh, did I say that? I'm gonna write that down and do that on stage. That's a great bit.
Like, he was so on Long Island, and you know, when he was in New York, and he'd play all the places. He'd play bizarre places. And we told the story many times on air about him playing the Huntington Yacht Club, which was not his audience. And
he would play a yacht club.
He played the Huntington Yacht Club. I've told these guys the story. It was legendary amongst the comedians on Long Island. Is that you know, he finished it off and they didn't, no response. And then his parting line off the stage was, "I wipe my ass with the list of your sacred dead."
Oh my God!
He didn't get rebooked at the Huntington Yacht Club. But I mean, you look at like Seinfeld. Seinfeld did his special, and they actually did sort of a visual representation of the legal pads and the handwritten notes from all of his acts was like an entire block long.
Yeah, I actually did a event for Rod. They opened a Rodney Dangerfield Institute in Los Angeles where you can learn how to do stand-up and be a comedy writer.
Really?
And to commemorate the opening of the Rodney Dangerfield Institute, they did a live stage reading of Back to School.
That's awesome.
Brad Garrett did Rodney's part, and Brad does an amazing Rodney Dangerfield impression. And they had me read for Sam Kinison's part of Professor Turgeson.
Right.
And I met Rodney's widow, who invited me to come over, and she opened up all of Rodney's notes.
Wow.
And he wrote, not only did he write every word of every set he did on The Tonight Show, the top of his notes would say, what a crowd times two in parentheses. So he would go, what a crowd. What a crowd. I was like, oh my God. I mean, it was that anal.
Seems so
that
casual, though.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah. It looks like real. And I guess I've heard that Robin Williams was like that, too, where Robin Williams would go out and it all seemed like it was improv, but that it was something that he had planned,
orchestrated,
looked around the room and spent some time kind of observing the room so that when he came out on stage, it was all, you know, insanity.
I always heard about Dangerfield is that he, you know, he had people who would write from as well, but he was so lightning quick to determine whether a joke would work or not. Like he had that innate ability. That's funny. That's not. That's funny. That's not. And could just do that quickly.
I'm not comparing myself to Rodney, but I feel that comics just know that. I think you know when something's funny. You don't need to go, hey, what do you think about this? You just know.
You never run stuff by other comics?
I never do.
Yeah.
And if the audience doesn't get it the first time, it's like, well, something's wrong with the audience. I mean, I know this is funny. I just have to sell it.
Right.
But bombing is fun, too. I mean, bombing is where you get your best stories. You don't learn from killing. You only learn from bombing. And that's an interesting
take. It's probably true, right?
Yeah, because when you're bombing, when you go home after you bombed, your ego takes such a hit. You just go, oh, my God. Like, you just replay that set over and over in your head. And then all of a sudden you go, you know what I should have said?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's like being in a relationship, actually, when you get really good at arguing. Like, a day or two later, you're like, oh, I hope she brings that up again. Please bring that up again. I'll get you next time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's the same kind of...
But you can't... You have to lull them into the trap, so they bring it up, and then you basically... You have to have the chops of a good lawyer.
Yeah, and the best... I mean,
there are some great bombing stories that I have. I did a show in Oklahoma City where a guy who opened for me, he kept looking over to the left side of the stage, and he seemed obsessed with something going on stage left. And then he finally went, am I that ugly that you won't even look at me? I mean, she won't even look me in the face. Like, what, are you freaking blind or something?
Oh, man.
She's blind.
Oh, are you blind?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And the whole crowd went, and the guy pivots, and with the biggest rookie mistake of all, he goes back into his set and goes, you guys ever go to Walmart? And someone went, who cares about Walmart? You just made fun of a blind woman. He's like, I'm sorry. Like, God. Only people laughing, me and two other comedians right? in the back of the room.
That's sure, great. Right?
I think
That's
the great. Best bombing story I've ever heard was Dane Cook's story about a club we all used to work at in New York called the Boston Comedy Club. He said he did a set one night for six people. One of the six people had all of his groceries on the table.
No.
Because when you walk in front of the comedy club, there's a guy out front going, hey, comedy show, come on in. No cover. Comedy's like, I got my groceries. No, I'll help you with the groceries. Come on in.
Right, right.
Yeah, come God. On. Two drink
get
minimum.
Get him in the door.
Yeah. So Dane
he's got his groceries on the table.
He's got his groceries on the table. And I think he even said that the guy said, I've got ice cream and it's melting. So this better be good. And Dane Cook is bombing in front of six people at 1 o'clock in the morning. It's not going anywhere. One of the six people who is hammered gets up and starts stumbling over to the restroom, closes the door, and starts violently vomiting in the bathroom to where the other five people are looking over because all they hear is and it's distracting the other five people.
Yeah.
There's a long pause and then you hear and he flushes the toilet. The guy comes back out. Starts stumbling back over to his seat, and Dane Cook is still standing there, and he goes, are you okay? Are you feeling all right? And the guy sits down and goes, no, I just had some bad comedy. Everybody's high-fiving each other, and the guy with the groceries is throwing them up in the air. And he just eats it in front of those six people.
Jesus.
And they owned him. The drunk guy owned him.
What was your worst personal?
I don't think I've, I can't think of like a really,
It's always better when you're backstage watching. It's more fun.
Well,
but
I would imagine you can have a bad show, but then there are times when the audience gets the better of you, like that Dane Cook thing, which is different. You know what I mean?
There's a moment that just popped into my mind. It wasn't bombing on stage. It was going against my better judgment.
Yeah. Okay.
I was backstage at a Guns N' Roses concert at Giant Stadium. And I'm running around handing out my comedy special to friends of mine who work on this Guns N' Roses tour to
right.
say, hey, put this on your bus. Yeah. Enjoy this comedy. And I'm running by this dressing room door that's open. It's Lenny Kravitz was opening for those dates on the Guns N' Roses reunion tour
right.
on the East Coast. And Lenny Kravitz's dressing room is open. I've never met Lenny. I don't know anybody that works for Lenny. But the dressing room door was open. It looked like a fun party. And I thought, hey, you know what? Screw it. I knocked on the door and I go, hey. And then somebody turns around and I go, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. And they go, hey, we love comedians. Come on in. I go, hey, I got a couple of DVDs put on your bus. And they go, tell us a joke. And I go, nah, just, you know, right. if you put the, no, tell us, wait, tell us a joke. Wait, hey, everybody. We have a stand-up comedian in the room. He's going to tell us a joke. And I go, I just watch it. And they go, no, just tell us one. And I go, and I don't know why, but I thought, all right, everyone here is black. Hey, do you guys like Tracy Morgan? And they go, yeah. And I go, okay, I got a great story for you. And I don't think that was picked up on by people in the back that I was about to say something about Tracy Morgan because I started doing a Tracy Morgan impression.
Right.
And the room just started getting quiet.
Oh, God.
And then I realized not everybody understands, like, okay, why is this white guy doing an impression of a black guy? And silence.
Right.
And I went, well, enjoy the DVD. And I walked out of the room and they just went. And I know the DVD was on the corner of a table next to a garbage can. I know it got pushed right into the garbage can when I walked out.
But you feel bad, man.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like, you know how to. It's like I'm going to the Super Bowl in 3 weeks? I always go to the Super Bowl and broadcast from the Super Bowl Media Center.
So who gets you? Do you get yourself out there? Who pays for you to go out there?
I create online content right. with the Seahawks.
Right.
And the people that work with the Seahawks get me access to Media Day.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, in fact, last year, man, Fletcher Cox was awesome.
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox, Nick Foles. I had some really fun stuff that I got from some of the Eagles last year at the Super Bowl. And at the beginning of the week, it's all radio buddies broadcasting from all over the country.
Right.
Sports format. But at the beginning of the week, my radio buddies will say, hey, can you join us as somebody famous so that it sounds cool back to Des Moines? And the only mildly even close to sports guy that I do is Tom Arnold. So I will broadcast.
Tom Arnold's your sports guy.
Because he did the best damn sports show.
Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. Yeah.
And so every year I'm broadcasting the Super Bowl going, hey, guys. Yeah, it's great to be here. And, you know, I was actually I've been in town for a couple days here for the Super Bowl. I was actually at a Cocaine Anonymous meeting last night. Brett Favre. I probably shouldn't say this out loud. Brett's a big cocaine. And Bob Costas is actually his sponsor. And again, I shouldn't say it out loud, but Bob's addicted to upskirt porn. And every year, Tom Arnold gets in a Twitter fight with people all over the internet who are saying, hey, man.
Oh, my God.
It's supposed to be anonymous, you dick.
Oh, that's funny.
And Tom fights with me and goes, hey, did you notice that Sam Kinison was on the air? That guy's been dead for 25 years, you idiot. Shut up. That's a comedian. And he fights with people every year.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a great Tom Arnold, man, because that's, you know, we've had him on. He's super kinetic. But the one thing you can't, you know, he's always licking his lips. Always licking his
and
lips.
And the stuffed up nose.
It's like I've been on coke the whole time. And you just gotta be really annoying. And my favorite thing is like bad impressions. Like when I get halfway to an impression and my friends criticize it, I always like to say, well, no, that's not what I was trying to do. Like,
right.
Like my friends look at me and go, that doesn't sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'll be like, dude, it's Arnold Schwarzenegger after a bad car accident. So that way, I can get away with. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger after a bad car accident. So I can't do like Mark Wahlberg, but I do a thing that I call out of breath Mark Wahlberg,
which is just
constantly running around going, guys. Are you serious?
Yes!
You've had Craig on for 20 minutes. You gotta take a commercial. Come on, there's like 20 people that work on the show. Everybody's gotta take a break. All right, come on, feel it. Feel the vibration.
Stupid. Stupid.
No, it's perfect. It's great.
It makes me lightheaded when I do that, too.
Yeah. Craig, I freaking love that.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, when I go to the Super Bowl every year, I get nervous. Like, I've been working in rock radio for 25 years.
You've done rock shows?
Rock shows. You
all around?
I'm not nervous around. I'm used to being around musicians. I'm used to being around comedians. Don't you get nervous when your favorite athletes come in? Like, doesn't that, what moves you?
So, there are very specific people where you just end up fanboying out.
Yeah.
But it crosses all boundaries.
I get nervous with musicians.
Musicians.
I am a musician. So, yeah, that's part of it. And that's why maybe sports guys, you get nervous around them because that's, I mean, I know you love music, but you're diehard, you know, you're a big-time sports guy.
And I try to go to all the stadiums around the country.
Yeah, and even though when we have musicians coming by, they're the ones that I prep for most diligently, and I make sure that I have something to talk to.
Preston lit up when I said you get nervous, and Preston was like you had a story. Is there someone specifically that you really fanned out on?
Well, I sat down with Paul McCartney. That scared the living Jesus out of me. Jesus out of me. Yeah.
That's the biggest.
In my world. So that terrified me, but it was a wonderful experience. Great interview as a gentleman and everything. But every single time we have a musician and I get a little nervous about it.
He had a drum off with Quest Love.
Mike Portnoy. I drummed off against him.
Studio here.
I was really nervous about that. Yeah.
I mean, these are our drumming gods for him. For me, actually getting Norm MacDonald in the studio was,
a little nervous?
Yeah, because Norm's been one of my absolute favorites forever.
Yeah.
I'm surprised about you and the athletes, though, Craig, because I used to get nervous around athletes, but I don't anymore. And I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but they're not always the brightest guys in the room.
That's true.
And I don't mean that in a bad. They're the best at what they do. They're incredibly gifted. But being around an actor or an athlete, actor or a musician, there's a level of genius there. You know, if they're that successful as an actor or as a genius, or an actor as a musician, With the athlete, they're just physically fit in an incredibly impressive way.
Yeah, there's an emotional connection for me because on Sunday, the way my football team plays on Sunday genuinely affects my mood for the next 7 days.
Well, you're in a city where that happens all the time.
And I'm so, there's a guy who I love that nobody cares about, and his name is Matt Hasselbeck. I met Matt Hasselbeck. He was the first quarterback to take my team to the Super Bowl. And I ran into him in a hallway, and I just went, Matt! I just screamed his name. And he turned around and said, what's up? And I went, what's up? My voice got that high. And then I realized, oh, my God, I have a camera phone. And I go, wait. And I go, sir, will you just take this picture? Matt, come on, just real quick. Can you do it real quick? If you look at the picture on my Facebook page, I look like I'm 12 years old. I'm shaking. Plus, Matt Hasselbeck is a foot taller than me. So I'm actually grabbing him and looking up at him going, he takes the picture and goes, all right, I'll see you later. And he just walks away with me standing in the hallway going, that's it? Like, there's something about meeting somebody who you really admire where you want to stretch out a moment that is clearly over.
But even if you're imbued with the power of conversation, you are bereft of it when you meet that person. It just goes out the window.
The next moment absolutely is the embodiment of that, which is Matt's walking away, and I said, Matt! And he turned around, and I put my hand out, and I just said, come on, man, just... I just thought if we shake hands,
it's going to happen.
Then we'll start talking.
Yeah.
And if we start talking, maybe you'll teach me how to throw a spiral.
Right. This is what you should do when you meet somebody like that is don't tell them the truth. Make up an elaborate lie on why their existence is so important to you.
Oof.
Yes. Like just a huge lie. Hey, listen, you know, my grandmother was dying and you threw that pass. And she came back to life. Right, still alive today.
I have to tell you.
Needed to tell you this.
That is a thousand times better than what came out of my mouth. Because Matt started walking towards me. I put my hand out. He put his hand out. And it just seemed to take forever before we actually locked hands. And I said, you make me so happy. And he said, what? And I walked away. You make me so happy. For the next 10 years, I'm in a different city. Around the world for the next 10 years, every sports station that I go to, they say, hey, you know, we're fans of Family Guy. We're fans of King of Queens. But we're a sports station. Do you have any sports stories? And I have to tell them, I met my favorite quarterback, and I think I started my period. And they go, all right, if you want to tell that story. So I've been telling that story for 10 years. 4 years ago, I'm broadcasting from the Super Bowl Media Center in New Orleans when Matt Hasselbeck started walking to the Media Center. And I ran up to him, and I said, Matt, hey, buddy, don't want to bother you at all. I just want to say hello. I'm a big fan. My name's Craig. And he went, Craig Gass. And I went, shut the hell up. Are you serious? And he goes, you're the guy. You're the guy with the story, right? Hold on a second. Brett, come here. I look over. Brett Favre starts walking towards me in slow motion. Matt Hasselbeck goes, Brett, this is Craig Gass. This is one of the funniest comedians on the planet. Now Brett seems to be floating towards me. And Brett Favre walks up and goes, what's up, dude? I love stand-up comedy. And I went, I do too, and I started crying. I started crying to Brett Favre and Matt Hasselbeck. At one point, Matt Hasselbeck said, this guy does amazing impressions. Watch this. Craig, do some impressions for Brett. And every impression I did was of somebody crying. Every impression was like, can I get a picture? Okay. Here, hold it. The next morning, I wake up in my hotel room. I log onto my Twitter page in New Orleans, and I see that Matt Hasselbeck is following me on Twitter. Flipped out. I called my buddy Jason, who's in the next room. Jason, get in here! And he goes, what? I go, look at this! And he's looking at my computer going, what? Twitter. Matt Hasselbeck. So what? Is Matt Hasselbeck following you on Twitter? I said, Matt Hasselbeck is following me on Twitter. And he very calmly said, you should tweet him. And I went, I should. No, you know what? I'll post the picture. Post the picture. And that's when this whole story and
we're looking at a picture here that's up from your Instagram account.
Yeah, and this is what made the whole story just take a huge crap because
what happened?
I got emotional looking at that picture and I made the mistake of writing that caption with that picture. And this is not a lie. You can see this for yourself. Go
read it out loud there.
Go to Facebook.com slash
music to it.
I love
it. By the way, it's you, it's Favre, and it's Hasselback, right?
Oh, you know what's appropriate for this? This is going to be Morgan Freeman.
Right. Go ahead.
Go to Facebook.com slash I love gas with two S's, and you will see this picture with Brett Favre and Matt Hasselback with Craig Gass. But this is the caption he decided to write. I'm sorry, but when one of your heroes introduces you to Brett Favre with the words, "This is one of the funniest comedians on the planet," you know what time it is. Hashtag, it's boner time.
Oh,
oh God.
No.
And within an hour.
No.
Literally within 1 hour, Matt Hasselback unfollowed me.
Seriously?
Within an hour.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know, they're fairly religious, you know.
I didn't think about that. His sister-in-law.
And Elizabeth Hasselback.
Is Elizabeth Hasselback.
Yeah, yeah.
It's boner time.
It's
that's
boner
a shame.
Time. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, there was another at the Super Bowl 48 in New York. Giuliani was walking through the media center, and I walked up. I'm from New York. I was home on September 11th. We actually talked about this last time I was here, and I walked up, and I said, "Excuse me, Mr. Giuliani. My name's Craig. I'm a stand-up comedian. I just want to say thank you for making me feel safe on September 11th. Every time you spoke, you made me feel like everything was going to be okay." And he said, "Oh, thank you. What is your name?" And I said, it's Craig. And he goes, "Oh, I'm going to look you up. What's your last name?" And I said, it's Gas. But I just wanted to say thank you. He said, "Oh, thank you." And he shook my hand. I felt a hand on my shoulder. I turned around. It's Matt Hasselback. He goes, "See, you can be normal." And I said, "He's not throwing a football for me. I'm not yelling at my TV every Sunday. Go do it. You got this." There's an emotional connection about yelling at your team and them actually. I mean, the Eagles have been amazing for the last couple
You've been
years.
Very, very complimentary. I follow you, and you know, you're nothing but kind words to say about Nick Foles and the whole deal. You were watching, obviously, Sunday.
Oh yeah,
and you were live. You were live tweeting and doing the whole thing.
It's yeah, always do every Sunday. It's or every football game. It's like, you know, especially the playoffs. There's nothing better than the playoffs, man. And for the Eagles to be the only team that actually put up a fight this weekend and actually was that close on that finishing drive. I mean, that was a killer. It reminded me of Brett Favre had a similar finishing drive in the NFC Championship against the Saints in New Orleans. He was driving down the field. He was about to win. He threw an interception in the last 30 seconds of the game.
But you know what? The whole mindset was after that. We talked about it yesterday. Is that because we, you know, had the win last year, it was okay. I mean, they really – no one expected to get this far. So there was sort of a good – people were disappointed, but they weren't crushed the way it would have happened had we not had the Super Bowl win.
I think the appropriate feeling is to be excited about the next season, because if this team can have this attitude where they're just not going to die, they're not going to roll over, and then they're going to put up a fight against a team like the Saints?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's very impressive.
I thought as the day wore on yesterday, it started to sting a lot more.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. And then you're finding out, all right, well, some of these players aren't going to be with the team next year. Some of these important players that are free agents. So I think as the day wore on yesterday, it hurt a lot more by the time I went to bed last night. But yeah, whatever. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I go as an Uber fan to the Super Bowl every year. And I've been really lucky that I've gotten viral moments with the players that end up on ESPN and NFL on Fox. And it's just silly stuff like Tom Brady every year. It's become a regular thing because Tom's there so much that I walk up to Tom and I go, "Tom, my name's Craig Gass. I'm a stand-up comedian. This is my friend Jason. This is my buddy Aaron. We were just ranking the four of us from most handsome to least handsome. And obviously you're number one, but who would you pick as number two?" Pointing at myself, number three and number four. And Tom actually went, "Wait, who am I ranking?" And I go, "Me and this guy and this guy." And he goes, "Wait, fan out." And he made us like get out of the line. And I found myself like, without even consciously doing it, I just pushed my chin out like to get rid of the extra chance that I have.
Yes. I want to put my best out there. Yeah.
And he re-ranks us every year.
Oh, that's great.
Peyton Manning, I had a viral moment with where I said, "Peyton, I have an idea for you. And by the way, this is a football fan thing. You guys are football fans.
Yep.
So you'll get
not
this.
Casey is the nuclear football fan.
Really?
Yeah.
I said, listen, Peyton, I got an idea for you. It's called Peyton Manning Trivia. It's a game show that I want to pitch to you where it's impossible for you to get any question wrong. And he said, any question? I said, for you, it'll be impossible. We're going to do a speed round right now. What is the largest city in the state of Nebraska? And he went, Omaha. Where is the College World Series played at every year? Omaha. I made him say Omaha.
That's excellent.
10 times in a row. And then at the end, I said, Omaha, Omaha, Omaha. You are correct, sir. You win again. And it went super viral on NFL and Fox. Yeah. But
well, listen, we unfortunately got to wrap it up. But on Super Bowl, that entire, you know, week leading up to and the full weekend, where do we see all the stuff that you're doing? Do we watch your social media?
Yeah, and I'm going to it's on my social media where, by the way, I just posted a picture that I found of the reason why Steve-O got kicked out of the roast of Gene Simmons. I just posted on my Instagram. But, yes, go to my Instagram. It's at Craig Gass Comedy. And if you look at it right now, I just posted a picture. There's a moment during the roast of Gene Simmons where Steve-O from Jackass got thrown out of the roast. They didn't explain why he got thrown out.
Mm-hmm. I see a picture of him behind Danny Bonaducci.
Yeah, and okay. The reason is because what he did to get thrown out happened during a break in filming. But it happened literally right next to me. I took out my camera phone and went, Steve-O, you can't. No, no. And I got a picture of it. TMZ tried to buy the picture. I didn't sell it to him. It's on my Instagram page.
All right. And we'll send people to it.
Steve-O relieving himself on Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, my God.
No,
yeah.
What?
And it's an awesome shot because you can't actually see anything you don't want to see.
Yeah.
But you can see Ralphie May laughing at Craig Gass Comedy, at Craig Gass with two S's Comedy.
Where the hell do you see Ralphie May?
He's in the upper left-hand corner.
Yeah. Upper left-hand corner on the – there he is.
There he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that story uncensored at Valley Forge Casino. We added a second show.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that. Okay, there's a 7:30 show and then
now a 9:30 as well.
Oh, excellent.
Look at you.
And also, I'm in Stone Harbor, New Jersey on Saturday. They have a theater there it's a renovated movie theater with like leather couches in Stone Harbor. So all the info is at getgas.com. Getgas with two S's.com.
Willing to it too.
Oh, that would be great.
Posted. Absolutely. So just a heads up, you want to get tickets to the shows now at Valley Forge Casino on Friday. You can go to vfcasino.com for Craig Gass. Great to see him, my man.
Preston, can I put out one Paul Stanley for Steve's
friend? Oh, yes, yes.
There's two Paul Stanleys. There's offstage, you know, who talks really softly and is really quiet. And then there's onstage Paul Stanley, where I saw him say in Las Vegas, all right, people, now listen. You know, I know that this town, Las Vegas, is known for its buffets. And I can tell you right now, I see a lot of people in the front row that I really want to eat. And then he just fixed his hair.
Yeah.
And everyone went, what? I saw the show a few months later in New York, and I told a bunch of the road crew guys, did you hear what Paul Stanley said in Las Vegas on stage? And three different guys said, did you hear what he said in Omaha? And I said, no. And three different guys said, in Omaha.
Story, yeah.
He got on stage and said, all right, people, now listen. You know, I know this town, Omaha, Nebraska, is known for its Angus beef. And I can tell you right now, after this show, I'm going to want to sink my teeth into some meat. And the whole crowd went, what? And he came back and said, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a thigh or a rump roast. And the crowd went, what?
Oh, my God.
And the road crew is behind the stage tuning the guitars going, what the hell is he doing? Like, yeah. All right. Valley Forge Casino. I'll see you guys this Friday.
Craig Gass, guys.
Thank you. Hey.
VFCasino.com for the tickets. We're going to break, and we're going to come back immediately after these commercials because we got to give away some cash.
Yes, we do.
All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Whether you've got an Amazon Echo, Spot, or Dot, make sure you first enable the MMR skill. Alexa, enable MMR. Once you do, it's easy as pie to listen to MMR's live stream, the Preston and Steve Daily Podcast, or the Bizarre Files. Your wish is our command with simple voice-activated access to WMMR. Alexa, open MMR.
All right, let's do the Bizarre File stories. Here we go.
Bizarre.
WMMR
presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, some stories for you this morning brought to you by Bob and Ron's Worldwide Stereo. And don't forget, you can watch Big Game in Style. Shop Worldwide Stereo Super Special Secret Savings on select items in store, on select TVs and home theater receivers. Save over $1,000, over 50% off in store only. So a 30-year-old Florida man is facing charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after neighbors overheard him threatening to kill another person with kindness.
He was going to kill someone with kindness.
Yeah, now Brian Stewart of Milton, Florida, allegedly cut his neighbor with a machete-style knife that has the word kindness written on the blade.
He doesn't get it, does he?
This was not long after the unnamed victim, together with another neighbor, came to Stewart's house due to the yelling and banging they heard at the residence. Loud noises at Stewart's residence had been bothering neighbors all day. At around midnight, the victim heard the suspect telling another person in the house that he was playing to, "I'm going to kill you with kindness.
And then I'm going to blow your head off with charity."
Neighbors were similarly concerned because a woman and a child were also inside the house, which prompted two of them to approach the residence and find out what was going on. As further noted, Stewart allegedly reacted to his neighbor's arrival by greeting them with the knife pointed upward. The police report also indicated the victim stepped in front of the other neighbor and tried to block Stewart's knife attack. This resulted in a half-inch cut on the victim's left hand. By the way, he had to be tased.
Of course he did.
To get him under control. He is in the county jail with a bond set at $20,000.
Well, when you go to the trouble of naming your weapons...
Yeah.
You're all in.
So here's a follow-up story, a disturbing story. It was back in September of last year that Paul Anthony Menchaca of Gilbert, Arizona, was arrested at his home for pretending to have Down syndrome and posing as a woman hiring caretakers to bathe and change her adult son's diapers.
Yeah.
So this was, let me see, I think it was his mom?
I think it was his mom, yeah.
The first victim told police that she was hired by a woman called Amy to bathe and change the diapers of her son who had Down syndrome over the summer last year. A second and third victim who knew each other as well as the first victim took over the caretaker duties in July of last year. And all three victims confirmed Menchaca would become aroused when they bathed him. A fourth victim has recently come forward to tell a very similar story. Yeah, confirming that.
How loathsome.
She was also hired under the belief that a mother was paying her to bathe her and change her special needs son. The fourth victim story lined up with the other three victims and also reportedly happened during the same time frame. The latest victim reported her encounter with the Arizona man after hearing about the other allegations against him. His first trial is coming up on January 15th. So another person. How messed up is that?
So the charge is they were hiring under false pretenses?
Or I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, part of it, I would imagine. So, by the way, according to the first victim, there was a point in time when she became suspicious of Menchaca and made the decision to follow him back to his home after he had been dropped off by a different caregiver, where this time she decided to knock on the door, met his parents, learned that he had been lying about having Down syndrome.
Dear God!
In order to trick female caregivers into bathing him, changing him, and providing other basic caregiving needs for him. That's messed up. Multiple reports of a Bigfoot with glowing red eyes in the North Carolina town of Moxville have been explained, and it turns out the callers weren't imagining things. Animal Services revealed in a Friday Facebook post that the creature seen standing in a forested area is an 8-foot wooden statue of Bigfoot and not the real thing.
I love it.
The county's post said, if you're traveling this road at night, please be advised that the eyes appear to glow. If you see this phenomenon, you do not need to call animal control to report seeing Bigfoot, Sasquatch, or any other large creature. Thank you. The statue's eyes are embedded with red glass marbles, which are reflecting in the headlights of passing cars. The department has had multiple calls about the statue, all at night, from people who believe that they were seeing the legendary creature believed to be living deeply in forested areas.
I love that. There are souvenir shops around those places out in Seattle that will sell large sort of snowshoes that have the Bigfoot imprints on them. For the snow and all that. Yep. You know, they really love that stuff.
Yep. A Utah teenager may face a reckless driving charge after trying to complete the Bird Box Challenge on the highway while driving.
Okie dokie.
Yep. On Monday, a 17-year-old girl was driving near Interstate 15. The teen and the 16-year-old passenger decided to try the Bird Box Challenge when participants blindfold themselves to see if they can do everyday tasks. Well, the driver pulled a beanie over her eyes and kept driving. Shortly after, the teen overcorrected, skidded into the eastbound lane. She hit another car and a light pole and a sound wall. Fortunately, no one was injured in the crash. Could have killed somebody.
She lost the Bird Box challenge.
Yeah. Police are screening a reckless driving charge with the city attorney's office.
It's just amazing. I love the warning that Netflix itself issued that began with, "We can't believe we're having to tell you this."
Yeah.
But don't do this.
A Florida police dog got an overdose reversal medication on Wednesday after he actually sniffed up drugs on a passenger boarding a cruise ship.
Oh, man.
Jake, a golden retriever with the Brevard County Sheriff's Office, experienced seizure-like symptoms and lost motor skills as he detected the drugs on someone about to board the Norwegian Epic cruise ship. And Jake was given Narcan. Because officials weren't sure what was causing the reaction, and it fixed the dog up.
Is that wild?
Yeah, the passenger allegedly had drugs, charged with possessing a controlled substance without a prescription after deputies...
What happened?
...found that he had a sedative and other prescription drugs.
Was I sniffing someone's ass?
As well as amphetamine and ecstasy.
Oh, Jesus.
A spokesperson said Jake should not suffer any long-term effects from the Narcan episode and will return to work. And then one last story, and we will wrap it up. Let's end with this. Panties and bras flew out of a car being chased by police at speeds of 100 miles per hour in northern Indiana. Police stopped 34-year-old Holly Sansone on suspicion of shoplifting from a Kohl's store. Police said Sansone shrugged and said, "I gotta go." And then she led officers in a high-speed chase.
"I gotta go."
Yeah. I guess she just ran out of there and took off. Sansone's car reached speeds of nearly 100 miles an hour.
I really have to go.
As she almost struck other vehicles, all the while throwing stolen bras and panties out of the window. The chase ended when her car tires were shredded by spikes. Police laid across the roadway. Sansone was arrested and on charges of resisting law enforcement, theft, and reckless driving. Police recovered four bras, 14 pairs of panties, two candles, and some air freshener refills, all valued at $400.
The makings of a good weekend.
And $45. And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. We're going to take a break. We got breaking news. Carol Channing passed away. 97 years old.
Wow.
So,
Broadway legend.
Hell of a run. So we'll run down a little bit of her life, I guess, when we get back and tell you about that. And we have some other things to get to. Don't forget, you have just a few minutes left. The word this morning for MMR's GoFund Yourself is viral. Get to the WMMR app or WMMR.com. Viral, V-I-R-A-L. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
By the way, something we were going to do today, we're actually going to put it on hold and do it tomorrow, but the Philly Pops are doing an 80s, it's called the Pops Rocks the 80s, Friday, February 1st, which is cool because the Pops are going to be playing music from like Huey Lewis and Blondie and Cyndi Lauper and Michael Jackson and all this other stuff. That'll be a lot of fun.
That is cool.
Marissa has put together a mashup madness contest.
Nice.
Of 80s stuff. It's 80s and other eras mixed together. There will at least be some 80s represented in each mashup madness. We're going to do it tomorrow, though. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. It should be fun. But was sad to hear, and listen, she was 97 years old. She lived a hell of a life. But Carol Channing passed away.
Yeah.
And she, you know what? As a kid, I remember being perplexed by Carol Channing and why she was famous, because she talked like that.
Yeah, I just love you when you're so wonderful.
And I found it annoying as a kid.
She talked like that when she was nine.
She always, throughout her entire life, but she was a classic Broadway style entertainer. Yes.
And so, I didn't understand Broadway.
Right.
And, you know, there's really strong vibrato when they sing. And I didn't understand. It's a theater. It's live. You've got to fill this entire space by being over the top
and annoying.
No.
So Dolly was her famous,
yes,
her
Hello
most
Dolly.
Famous role.
Yeah, no question. But they mentioned in this article about her life, she was played the role of Lorelai Lee in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Lorelai Lee
and the eponymous heroine of Hello Dolly were two of her biggest ones. But she played. Apparently, she played Dolly more than 5,000 times across three different Broadway runs from the 1960s to the 1990s and on tours around the world. And the part had been turned down by Ethel Merman, but Channing made it her own, donning a hat as feathery as her eyelashes and red sequin gown. I didn't even know what Hello Dolly's about. I don't even remember. I went to see it as a kid.
Yeah.
At the Muni Theater outside in St. Louis, and I don't even remember what
she's
the show was about.
She's an iconoclast. Show. What happens is that she's involved with this ring of street racers, you know, and they...
No, that's Fast and Furious.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's all about family. Isn't it, Dom? Dom's very good with these things. Dom's a fast driver. And he's so muscular that a lot of people are afraid to race against him. But it is about family. Oh, he's always been right about that.
Oh, my God.
That's my car.
Carol Channing.
It's a souped-up K car.
In the Fast and Furious. She drove a K car.
Yeah, but it's got nitrous in it.
Oh, my God.
I remember her more often, Preston, being on, like, daytime talk shows.
Yeah.
Like, the Dinosaur Show.
Dinosaur.
The Mike Douglas Show.
Absolutely.
Did she do, like, Match Game and stuff like that?
She did Match Game.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the
way,
she
was also in a few of the Emmanuel movies.
No, she was the not. Softcore porn? No.
What the hell's going on here?
By the way, she claimed to have only missed one performance as Dolly. She had a bout of food poisoning in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
I was crapping my boa off.
Yeah, so that was the only time out of the 5,000 some odd performances that that she missed.
I don't think I can do it. As you can hear, it's gotten very difficult here. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hear, there's issues going on, and it's very uncomfortable.
That didn't take long.
Carol Channing lives on with my circle of friends, because my friend Lori, one time we were talking about something, and she just took a pause, and at some point, she just goes, "Well, that's nice." And I just go, "You sound like," I go, "That's nice." So we all started talking like Carol Channing. And we've been doing Carol Channing for years. I don't even do a good Carol Channing, and we still do it.
The word is that she was the nicest person, super supportive of other talent. She had that kind of thing that I think now, Preston, would be... an enigma to a lot of people. Like, that was a very famous person, because she wasn't a classically great singer. But she was charismatic. Like, Jimmy Durante would probably be anomalous to a lot of people. Like, you know, how did that guy get famous? You know, now we have reality stars we always ask that about, because that's where did they come from? But these were legitimate entertainers.
With legit talent.
Right. It's just different than what makes it today.
Yeah, they're not a cookie cutter star.
And
some people just, on occasion, they just resonate, you know, and they catch it at the right time.
I don't recall seeing her in anything. I've never seen
Fast
Hello.
And Furious.
No, I've never seen Hello Dolly. She
it's
was
about family, John.
I'm sure it wasn't her voice. I'm sure it was an impersonator, but they featured her on The Family Guy. They did celebrity boxing where Mike Tyson fought Carol Channing.
You know that's what? Great. Check that. You never know. They might have gotten her. Check. See if you can pull up her IMDb, Nick, and see if she has a credit for Family Guy, because I wouldn't doubt it.
No, I always got confused between her and Phyllis Diller.
Okay.
I think they kind of look similar, and they're of the same era. So, and Phyllis Diller
They're both kind of loud and wore feathery stuff.
And she was on Scooby-Doo, and so that's where I was first exposed to Phyllis Diller.
Preston?
Yeah.
It was her on The Family Guy.
There you go. See? Yeah. So she had a great sense of humor like that. She got that she was her.
And
you
Seth
know what
MacFarlane
I mean?
Is a huge
show tune guy.
Yeah. I'm sure had a massive appreciation for Carol Channing. When you hit that age, though, I mean, she what did she die of, Preston? She was free climbing El Capitan, right?
That's Alice Hanold.
It's not more difficult than I thought it was going to be.
Different.
At this altitude, I'm finding myself lightheaded, and the birds of prey have proven to be rather annoying.
Oh,
they keep taking me for dead.
She was free climbing. I mean, like, with no
this
gear.
This is very difficult. No. I have to be honest. I thought it would be easier because I saw other people. I saw a wonderful documentary film where a gentleman did it. It didn't look that hard. Ah, get away, get away. Damn it.
No rigging or no...
No, I'm free. It hurts my fingers because I've got rheumatoid arthritis. It's a little difficult.
I went away from the lights of 14th Street.
and into my personal haze.
I wonder where she got that, that unique speech pattern or even accent.
Southern or... can you see where she was born and raised?
I, you know, I mainly have her about...
I'm a child of the streets.
Well, she was of German-Jewish descent, so there's probably an accent from that part of her family. But she grew up in Seattle and then moved to San Francisco, went to college in Vermont. I mean, she's kind of all over the place.
By the way, I'm what you call a mutt.
Steve, can you tell me what... Because it says here that she spent some time working the Borscht Belt.
Yes.
What was the Borscht
Belt? The Borscht Belt was a series... So if you... Dirty Dancing... Those resorts were the Borscht Belt, the Catskills.
Okay, so and that was a regular, for a performer, you could go there and work in the summer, right?
You'd go work and it would be huge. You'd have these huge arenas. Preston,
okay.
We went to a place a couple of times in the what was classically the Borscht Belt. There was Kutcher's and the Concord Inn. And it was just like in Dirty Dancing. You see that same story. Now, we didn't go with, you know, we weren't doing the dancing, you know, all that sort of stuff. But they would have... You know, entertainers of the time that were, you know, Jerry Lewis would play and Charlie Callis.
I'm thinking of her free climbing El Capitan. I'm sorry.
This is very difficult. I'm about 3/4 of the way up, but I'm, you know what? I've forgotten the question of the bathroom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do I just hang off the side and do it? That seems very unladylike.
By the way, in 1945, Time magazine put her on the cover.
That's nice.
And that's nice. No, it was she, when she played Lorelei Lee, which was in...
Damn Yankees?
No, it was in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Oh, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
They put her in 1949, put her on the cover of the magazine. She was an instant hit. The musical became a movie in 1953. Marilyn Monroe was given the lead.
Who was
that?
The main character, Gwen Verdon, rose to stardom playing in all those classic Damn Yankees... Which is, you know, these things always get revived.
Okay, is Damn Yankees actually about the baseball?
It's about
team?
The Yankees, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it with B.B. Newworth on Broadway.
There you go. Lola, that's her name, where she's basically seduced. Well, you got to see it. It's like Fast and Furious.
In 1956, she started doing movies, the first traveling sales lady with a young Clint Eastwood. And they were a couple in that movie. Didn't
I'd
know
like
that.
To buy a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah?
Fuller Brush Girl.
It's also gave Channing. Gave Channing.
What's your name? You talk very funny.
What do you say?
I'm saying you talk in a strange way.
I don't talk weird. What about you? You braying jackass.
Nice, not nice.
You braying jackass. Bray. Her most.
Look at how young Clint Eastwood is in this picture. There's a photograph up in the studio. He looks like he's 19, 20.
She doesn't even look. Yeah. She looks.
I don't even look like me.
So her most successful film role was as the nightclub singer Muzzy Van Hosmeer in Thoroughly Modern Millie. And apparently,
I love
she would
movie.
Drink champagne and proclaim raspberries.
Do you ever see that with
with Julie Andrews and Mary Tyler Moore?
No.
And she was very good in that.
Okay.
She was also, it was a scene right before the opening scene of The Godfather. Carol Channing's one of the people that comes in to visit the Godfather.
I need someone killed.
Wait, what are you talking about? I'm like, did I miss, was that from the director's cut and I missed this?
John Vito.
Yeah.
There's someone on my block who plays music too loud. I'd like you to have them killed. It upsets my Sharpay.
She came in with Johnny, right?
Let me ask you, what is this? What do we got here? Yeah. What's going on? I'm just saying that, you know, you're a good man. Have them killed. Shoot him in the face. All right, send Luca Brasi on this one.
Following her the 30th anniversary tour of Hello, Dolly, she received a Lifetime Achievement Tony Award in 1995, and her memoir was published in 2002.
What was the name of it?
I don't know what the name of the memoir was, but she was married four times and had a son who is the cartoonist Channing Lowe.
Not familiar.
Lowe.
Steve, she was on several episodes of The Love Boat. I don't know if you've caught up to those.
No, episodes. She's been on many times.
Yeah, there were seven in the 80s. And Preston, two of her husbands, she outlived. they wasn't that she got divorced. Yeah, that they passed away. Yeah,
she her last credit is the Family Guy, though. By the way,
no kidding.
Yeah, and when was I don't know when that was.
2006. It says
we have audio of it. If you want
okay,
to play
it. Let's play that. Here we go.
Come here, young man. I'm gonna bop you one.
She's getting beat.
No, she's getting mad.
You ain't so tough, young man.
It's her and Mike Tyson fighting, by the way.
That all you got, you son of a bitch? You're going down, young man. You're going down.
I can't believe this. She keeps getting up. I'm so exhausted.
And the winner by technical knockout, weighing in at 67 pounds, Carol, put on your Sunday clothes, Channing.
Yeah. Up yours, young people. You and your rock and roll 8-track tapes.
How cool that she would do that.
That's totally cool. Well, all right, sad news. Carol Channing, 97 years old. What a hell of a life, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's... So they usually do the dimming of the lights on Broadway.
Yep.
I'm sure they'll be doing that.
She's a legend. They have to do something like that.
And they'll probably have a street race out on Broadway for her Fast and Furious work.
Okay. I'm sorry. Who told us the... Casey, just say it.
I didn't write this note, but this doesn't ring a bell. But who told us a story about her and LL Cool J rapping at the Tony Awards?
Oh, I remember that story.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember who told it to us, but that happened.
It was true.
They came out together and rapped together, and she held her own with LL.
Yeah. Sad news. All right. Anyhow, rest in peace.
Yes.
Carol Channing. Something totally, completely, 100% different to talk about was all the drama that unfolded yesterday at that UPS. Is it a sorting facility?
Yeah, it seemed to be a large warehouse facility
in New Jersey.
It's where, like, companies ship in bulk.
Yeah.
That's where they ship it out of.
An interesting thing, because jokingly, you know, when we talk about amongst each other what we want to talk about on the air, sometimes we'll say, anybody's head ever catch on fire? You know,
right.
Because there was a story.
Anybody ever crash a submarine?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Things that never happened.
Right.
And C goes, anybody ever been held hostage before? And jokingly kind of said that. And then Kathy goes, no, wait a second.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was held hostage twice.
My aunt.
Twice?
Yeah.
Yeah, twice.
So anybody ever been held hostage before? 215-263-WMMR. Fortunately, these people, the innocent people, got away okay yesterday. The perpetrator was killed in this whole thing, which is tragic when anybody's killed, obviously. But I mean,
but we're so used to hearing higher body counts. And,
and
honestly, and Casey pointed it out earlier, and the proper word was relieved that not many more people had died. It was just the guy who had instituted the whole thing in the beginning. But it also brings up the question about being held hostage, you know, protocols at various offices and buildings and things like this and sorting facilities. You know, is that a common thing, or do you know, we have fire drills, but I'm sure in a manual somewhere it says what to do in case of a
I certainly know schools do.
Yes.
But that's a good point. You know, I'm wondering if some offices should consider that as well. An active shooter scenario or a protocol of sorts, a lockdown or whatever, if you will. But tell us about your aunt.
So when you hear the story, you'll know why. But she worked at a bank.
Oh.
So both of them was, a robbery. And I'm not sure if both of them turned into it, but I know at least one was a hostage situation.
How long did it go on for?
I don't know how long it went, but I just remember her story of that she was freaking out one of the times.
Sure.
She completely freaked out and ran into the other room and was trying to climb out of a bathroom window. And were like, and it was, you know, like an office where it was like a tiny window that a child might be able to fit out of, and they were, you know, people were trying to calm her down, like, stay calm or else this guy might shoot us. And obviously everything worked out okay in the end. She's fine and still alive, but
was she working as a teller?
As a teller, yeah.
All right, so did the guy come in and present directly to her?
So one time he presented directly to her, and slid the note over, and she said she just like went white and was shaking, and they hit the alarm or whatever the alert button is. And it was a robbery. She put all of the money in, and she said she was like shaking, wasn't moving fast enough. Was terrified.
I don't know how you can be put in that situation and act normal, like normally put cash in a bag and not be freaking out and not do it as fast as they would like, because you're probably just, you know, not probably, you're terrified. My cousin was actually, I guess, quote unquote, technically held hostage. She was carjacked. She was at a stoplight. Guy got into her car, didn't kick her out, like got into the passenger seat and made her drive him around. And so I don't know exactly all of the details, but was in the car for, you know, a substantial amount of time until she eventually reasoned with him and talked him out of, like, you know, leaving.
Oh, really?
She talked him out of the car?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought maybe she was going to talk him out of allowing her to get out of the car.
Yeah,
but
no.
She got him out of it. Did she follow up with a police report?
Yeah, like, oh, of course, of course. But I don't unfortunately know any of the details, and this is probably happened about 40 years ago or so.
Okay, so they may have never gotten him and so on, but
they're hot on the trail.
That's pretty, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, because anything could happen like that. Hang on a second. I have Renee, who is on. Hi, Renee. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you. Thank you. What's up, Renee?
So, all right, I haven't actually been in a hostage situation, but I did want to say that I work for an organization that we have active shooter drills usually every couple months. So we have a PA system that's set up in our work, and they announce whether or not the shooter is indoors or outdoors. And then we have safe rooms that we can lock so that if there is somebody in the building, we can hide from them.
Renee, may I ask what line of work you're in or what this business deals with?
Yeah, it's a philanthropy, actually. It's a foundation.
Okay. And so there are actual safe rooms and so on and so forth. Are there coded messages that would come over an intercom that you're aware of? Or is it just,
there's a shooter! Coded. They just announced whether or not the shooter is indoor or outdoors.
Okay.
So that you can decide where to go, whether you need to exit the building or try to find a shooter.
I hear you.
Yep. The
that makes sense. Interesting.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. We had, I didn't tell you guys about it, but a few weeks ago, we had a bomb threat out at the high school. They had to leave. I think they announced it as a specific. I don't remember if he said.
Is it a coded?
They didn't play it off as a fire alarm.
Yeah.
They just said there was an evacuation. Everybody went outside, and it turned out to be a hoax, obviously. But they knew what to do, and there are different levels of active shooter. Here's what you need to do, you know, in case it happens. Let me go to Christy. Hi, Christy. Good morning.
Hey guys. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Christy?
So I haven't actually been in a hostage situation either, but I was calling to say, I used to work at St. Christopher's Hospital for Children. They have active shooter drills all the time.
Okay.
How often would they do them, Christy?
Every few months.
Okay.
And, you know, random, just as much as we do, you know, fire drills and all that kind of stuff, they would do them.
Did you have like safe rooms and things like that, or what was the the alarm goes off, or you're informed you know the situation is currently underway? What would you immediately be guided to do?
Well, they call a certain code, and you know I'm not going to use the color or whatever, but you know, just to say like a code color, and then you're instructed to, you know, shut all patient doors, turn off all lights, pull all curtains, basically hide as much as you can. You know, hide all patients as much as you can and that type of thing.
Right. So your first focus is on making sure the patients are secure.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. But that would also, I think, in a way, give you a little bit of peace of mind to know that you practice for a scenario like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it especially started after that hospital was, shot up. In, I think it was Massachusetts or something like that a couple of years ago. You know, that I think really...
Without making people panic, I just think it's probably a scenario that you should entertain, a possibility.
Precaution.
Yeah.
I'll go to Jay next. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Morning. You guys rock.
Oh!
Thank you, Jay. What's up, man? And
Carson Daly is still a tool.
He's still a tool after all these years. What's up, bud?
So my wife was working at a bank as a teller. It was her first day on the job on her 21st birthday. Got held up at gunpoint.
Oh my God. And that's a lousy birthday.
Yeah, right. They train them to put those tracker packs in the bag, which is basically like a pack of money filled up with a tracking device. And she was able to do that. And once they tracked the device, the company that makes those packages gave her a reward for doing it.
How much?
I think it was like $250.
And did she split it with the guy she paid to rob the bank? let me ask you, do they use dye packs anymore?
Some do. I guess I'm not real sure, but
okay.
They use the tracking device because it's a little more discreet.
Yes, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would assume that they probably still use dye packs. I mean, it's, you know,
yeah.
Why not?
Well, thank God she's okay.
Yep, yeah, she was fine. She had to go through court and all that kind of stuff, which was kind of a pain in the ass. But everything worked out.
Was she fairly cool and collected, or you know, I mean, sounds like she was.
Yeah, at the time she was okay, but then once she got home, she lost her S. You know.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. Well, kudos to her.
Thanks, Jay. Yep. Appreciate it, man. Bank robberies happen a little more often than you think they do.
Yeah.
I see stories all the time. And I remember one a little while back. Some of the Bizarre File stories I'll put in my file and I never end up getting to. But there was one, I forgot what city it was in, but somebody hit 5 banks in one day.
Oh, my gosh.
5 banks in one day.
One day.
God.
And it's crazy to see some of these repeat performances. The same people going and doing the exact same thing. You're eventually going to get caught. It's a ticking time bomb.
What I would think.
I was just going to say, has anybody ever robbed a bank and actually gotten away with it? I mean, there's so much surveillance, so many cameras, the dye pack, fingerprints. Like, they can find you every which way. If a piece of hair falls out of your head while you're in there, they can find you.
So the bank I go to, I just noticed recently, there's now usually a uniformed, not a security guard, but a police officer.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that was because it's been hit a few times.
Yeah. Actually, the bank down the street has one of those, like it's a vestibule.
Yes.
That you can get locked in. So if you go in and you rob the bank.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
You know,
they can lock you in there.
They can lock you in the vestibule.
On the way
and they
out.
Can do pressed ham.
And those videos are hilarious if you've ever seen, like, stupidest criminals or something like that. And they get locked in the vestibule and they just got to sit there and sulk.
There was a diamond store in New York City that had a rig like that. And the guy, they do a smash and grab. They start running for the door. A man or woman, I forget who it was, hits a button. She goes running into the back room, and basically the entire store is locked up now. The guy can't go anywhere. And it's like, wah, 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 wah. You know, he's done for.
By the way, I just realized what our protocol is here. You just open the door and go, Rodney!
Yeah.
Rodney,
can you get this a-hole out of here?
Rodney!
Do you know what happens, though, actually? It's a cool thing that we have here. If we believe we're threatened, we board up the main entrance to the building.
Right.
And we put concrete blocks.
Barriers.
Yeah.
Yes, they're redesigning our main entrance here at One Bala Plaza.
I walked down yesterday. There's just a wall.
I asked one of the building workers. I saw him in the hallway. I'm like, how long is this going to last? And he started laughing. And he goes, I don't know, a year? I'm like, oh.
And by the way, so they're adding an atrium to the building here.
Yeah.
That goes up 4 stories. We're on the 4th floor. And it's that work is going to be transparent. That's what I heard.
It goes up four stories.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
Oh, they're going to add it onto the front.
Yes.
Onto the front. So
it's going to be right out our window.
Preston, we might lose our sunrise.
No, we'll just see it through another set of windows.
That better not happen.
Yeah, I know. That's what I heard.
Okay.
You guys know why we have some of the security measures about getting in and out of our complex? Because 14 or 15 years ago, there was a series of robberies. And somebody got in, and I had a backpack stolen. There were a bunch of laptops that were stolen. So the codes that you have to type in to get into the bathrooms, the cameras by the kitchen door, stuff like that. Like, it used to be a lot more loose and open.
That was a response to that?
Yeah, until somebody started abusing and taking advantage of it.
I appreciate the security measures in our building. But security codes on the bathroom has always confused me.
It doesn't make sense.
What are you going to do? Steal soap?
Even if you're going to steal everything in there, they still can't tell who you are. Everyone's entering the same code.
Is the perception that you go into the bathroom and hide if you're going to rob the place? I don't know. It just seems weird, you know?
Because they'd get you. I mean, he's in the bathroom.
We came back from vacation, Preston, and I noticed that my Ant-Man figure was moved in a different position.
Oh,
it always faces due south.
Always faces due south.
Are you kidding me?
And I'm a little upset. So I can feel your pain, Nick, about the stolen laptop.
Do you guys remember before the codes, the guy that would go into our bathroom and spend
it? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mad Whacker.
Yeah, you'd see feet in the stall.
I thought we've always had codes here.
No.
No?
No.
Ooh,
yeah. I thought we've always
had codes. Yeah. Or at least a locked door. Maybe we used our key fob to get in.
No, because that would deter him. Even
no, she might be
no,
right.
No, we did.
It was a pad.
I still occasionally, when going to the bathroom door, will grab my key fob out of instinct because you used to have to do that, and then they put in the codes.
Wow. Okay.
And everyone knows the code, though. Everyone tells everyone the code.
And it's the same code on every floor.
Yeah, that guy held me hostage one time in the bathroom, made me watch him do it.
Yeah. Here's how crazy I am. Gang, if you come to One Ballot Plaza, the code is 1111, okay? To go to the men's room, it's 1111.
Do you know what the code is at 2 Ballot Plaza?
2222.
Yep.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
And 3333?
I don't know.
3333?
Ooh, should we send somebody over to 3 Ballot?
Watch us get in trouble for that.
You're definitely getting in trouble. Well, I'll probably get in trouble. Don't worry, I'll get in trouble.
Kathy will take it for me.
And so, Kathy, Ms. Romano, when Preston uttered the code in defiance of court edicts, were you there and did you witness it?
Well, my favorite was you laughed a little too hard. That was a good one.
Which one now?
That I got in trouble for laughing too hard at one of your jokes.
Something I said that Bill chastised Kathy for laughing.
Because I laughed too
Why
hard.
Why did you laugh at Steve's joke?
Yeah.
Hang on, I want to go back to the topic at hand, being held hostage. I'm going to go to Justine. Hi, Justine. Good morning.
Hi, long time listener, first time caller.
Ah, awesome.
Thank you. What's up, Justine?
Hey, I was 17 and I worked at a grocery store, and somebody came up behind me and put a gun to my back.
Oh.
Yes. And at this time, you had to get through, in through a door to get in the cash room. And they put the gun behind my back for them to open the cash room. They made us all lay on the floor, and they were just taking drawers out of the safe, throwing money all over the place, and screaming at us to not push the button or they would kill us. Hmm. Yeah.
And, you're 17 at the time.
Yeah.
I was 17. It was like 20 years ago.
And so, to Casey's point, where was this?
This was at a grocery store. I actually live in Souderton, so it was in Souderton.
Mm, okay.
And at that time, you never thought something like this would happen.
Okay, couple of questions. Did they ever catch the people?
No.
No kidding.
No.
You would think it would have to be somebody who knew something about the store.
Yes.
They said that there was somebody walking around the store, casing the store, but they didn't think anything of it. They were just walking.
Yeah, in a supermarket, people walk around all the time.
Right. So this was a customer, they think.
Okay.
Wow.
Man. So did you have to deal with some emotional stuff after that?
Yeah, I was in shock. I don't remember everything, but I remember when they left and I got up. I was shaking, and I just couldn't believe it was happening. I remember the cop coming up to me and saying, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Do you need me to call an ambulance?" I said, "No, I'm fine." And I did have post-traumatic stress disorder after it.
How long did you go to therapy to deal with it, or how'd you handle that?
Yeah, I went to therapy for a little while.
All right. Well, you're okay now?
Yeah. I mean, it was 20 years ago, but I mean, still, I still remember it.
Yes, absolutely. How could you forget something like that? It could be etched in your mind forever.
Right, and at 17, you don't... I mean.
Yes, that's not something at any age, having a gun held in your back is going to be terrifying.
Right.
All right, Justine, thank you for sharing. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, I want to go to this one. I have Kristen. Hi, Kristen. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay.
You're good. What's up? What's your story?
So there was... either a bank robbery or a jewelry store robbery, I can't remember, in Wynwood, and my dad used to live there. And the one guy fled on foot, found an open door in my dad's house and hid in my dad's basement.
Oh my God.
All day long.
So you had a felon, a robber who is in your dad's basement. How did they find out he was down there or had been down there?
So the dog kept barking at the door to the basement, and my dad went down there, looked around, didn't find anything, but the dog would not let it go, and this apparently went on for hours.
Yeah.
And my dad got kind of creeped out, grabbed an old army pistol, went in the basement and found the guy, and the guy was don't shoot, and my dad was they kind of were in a standoff. My dad was trying to capture the guy to
take
him for the police, but they kind of got into a little tussle, and the guy went upstairs and made his way out of the house. And so there were helicopters looking for him. They did they had to do a whole fingerprint thing all over the house. And my dad had like that black dust, like on CSI or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So your dad squared off with a guy. Now, did this guy have a gun as well?
He was unarmed.
Unarmed. Okay.
And did he get away? Did they ever catch him?
I honestly don't remember. It was a while ago, but the guy had like gone to the bathroom in the basement because that's how long he was there for.
God.
Oh my God!
Not only does he's a felon and a thief, and he breaks into your house. He takes a dump in the basement. I'm going for dump. I don't know if he did a dump, but it makes it worse.
It sounds way better.
Yeah, sounds for the story. It's really
Dookie's awful. More fun.
Dookie, yeah. Wow, that's a wild story.
Appreciate it. I will go to an anonymous caller. Hi, anonymous caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's up, man?
So, when I was growing up, my brother was a drug addict. So, he would go into the city, and I would go with him because I was worried about him. He would always get so messed up that sometimes he wouldn't even make it back. So, this time, I went with him, and he seemed to know where he was going. He walked up to this house. You know, some guy standing outside. They don't even say anything. He walks in. And I walked in with him. So the guy closes the door. I walk in. There's no windows. There's like an old dirty green couch in the corner of the room, spray paint all over the walls. There's like four guys and then a guy and a girl on this old green couch. And as soon as I walk in, the girl on the couch stands up, points right at me and screams, "He's a cop," at the top of her lungs.
Oh.
At you?
So the guy at me. Yeah, at me. So the guy on the couch reaches under the couch. And he pulls out the biggest shotgun. Well, the only shotgun I'd ever seen at that point in my life.
Mm-hmm. So by default, it was the biggest, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He racks it back and points it, you know, right in my face.
God.
I'll tell you what, dude, staring down a barrel that big is something else. But, yeah. So, essentially, he motioned to sit at the table where the other guys were. And they said, you know, you're not leaving unless you prove you're not a cop. So... they forced me after a while to, heroin to prove I wasn't a cop.
And oh, my God.
Then, they put the gun away and we left.
So I thought you were going to say he would pull out, like, the category is famous TV cops. All right, man, I'll take Kojak for 100.
Are you
Kojak often sucked on this confection.
What is a Tootsie Pot?
Yeah. No, I mean, God, so how did you, you had to do heroin, and so when did they, how long did this go on for before you were allowed to leave?
It felt like forever, but it was probably like 15 minutes.
Wow. Still, are you, do you have a problem with heroin now as a result?
No.
Okay.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah. Seriously.
Wow. But that's like in training day.
Hey,
that's, you know.
How about your brother? Whatever ended up happening to him?
Yeah, he's not around.
Oh, yeah. Sorry to hear that, man.
Sorry to hear that. It's a horrible story.
Well, we're glad you made it
through. Thanks for
sharing
it with us, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Love
all right, take care.
Wow. It reminds me, speaking of drug dealers, a guy that I knew growing up dealt drugs, and people knew that he was a drug dealer, so they broke into his apartment while he was there, guns pulled at him, stripped them down into their underwear, held them hostage, stole all of their cash money, all of their drugs, and then locked them outside on their balcony. It was like apparently like the middle of January, February.
I understand, like, I was watching We're the Millers.
Yes.
You know, so they find the drug dealer. You rob a drug dealer. A drug dealer's not going to call the cops.
Yep. Right.
You know,
but that's why drug dealers are armed.
Yeah.
You know, because they know that they're an easy target.
They all have Ring doorbells.
Yeah, they're going to know. They're going to see your face.
Wow. I don't know you.
It's a terrifying scenario, you know, and it's unfortunately it happens and has happened for a long, long time. But, you know, having these drills and things like that can definitely weigh in your favor. Taking martial arts classes, protection classes, things like that. Absolutely. So, but anyhow, thanks for sharing the stories. We appreciate it. It's pretty wild stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. As we do take a break, two things. I want to remind you that we have a Tattoos Day today. If you're interested in getting a Preston and Steve tattoo, you can text the word tattoo to 39333. That's how we're doing Tattoos Day these days. You don't have to come here to the studio. If we randomly draw you, you can win a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo.
That's awesome.
And get some class work done, but it's got to be a Preston and Steve tattoo. So if you're interested, text the word tattoo. Now, Little heads up, tattoo is spelled probably not the way you spell it. T-A-T-T-O-O. T-A-T-T-O-O. So remember two T's and two O's next to each other. Send it to 39333. And you could end up getting tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Kyle Fitzpatrick. You can check out his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So good luck with that. And last pair of tickets to see Glass.
Oh! Yep.
We got a screening of it. We'll take call number 18 215-263 WMMR. Pair of tickets to see it at the Ritz East, 7:30. M. Night Shyamalan's Glass does not open nationwide until Friday, January 18th. So give us a call. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Steve, and I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Keep listening to the Preston and Steve Show to find out when we're heading back to Jack Frost Mountain for the 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. And visit JFBB.com anytime for conditions and to view their live webcam. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like you to make it a perfectly personal new year with our friends at Hannah Still. Make it personal. Make it about you. You spent enough time over the holidays thinking about everybody else. Let's think about you now. There's over 50 locations of Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, the Lehigh Valley, and the spa services start at just $59.95. Take a look at what I'm talking about. Hannah Still Massage and Facial Spa. Go to hannahstone.com today.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I've been very productive around the home.
What have you done?
Past couple weeks. Just tidying up. Just, you know, we have, I think everybody has an area in their house. If you're a homeowner and have been a homeowner for quite a while, we have like an unfinished side of our basement where just stuff ends up.
Yeah.
And we're busting at the seams and it's time to get rid of some things. So I've been going through and doing a little bit at a time that I find is the best way to do it as opposed to dive in, clear everything out. That's too much of a project.
If you can stay on it in increments,
yeah,
you're able to manage it. So I agree.
I'm trying to do a little bit of it every day, but I've never heard of this. Apparently there's a Netflix series called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay.
I don't think Marie is her first name. It's a Japanese first name.
It says with Marie, M-A-R-I-E, Kondo. Debuted on...
Marie.
It says cleaning guru Marie Kondo's Netflix series, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
Yep, I'm sorry. You're right.
Debuted on January 1st, and apparently she's inspiring viewers to use her method of decluttering.
Yeah.
Which apparently involves picking up each of your possessions and asking yourself whether it sparks joy. If not, you thank it for its service and send it on its way.
Yeah, yeah.
And now there is now anecdotal evidence of spikes in donations to Goodwill, including pictures of long lines of would-be donors. And now the Washington Post reports that D.C. area Goodwill locations said that donations the first week of January are up 66%.
Well, that's wonderful. I go to Goodwill all the time, and they're conveniently located. I have one right on Lincoln Avenue.
Are you dropping stuff off, or are you looking for
things? I'm actually getting stuff.
Oh, no kidding.
No, kidding. I'm dropping off stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because
you can go there and just purchase.
You absolutely can.
Yeah.
The center that I have is not a pickup.
Okay,
stuff.
Gotcha.
So it's just specifically for dropping off. But you know what? And I was talking to this about my wife about this whole subject. That's exactly sort of the methodology I use, which is I pick it up. Have I used this?
Yeah.
Do I enjoy this? Is this functional? Is it something that I really need? If you really, really needed it or needed to have it around, you would have used it. You would have thought about it. You would have known you had it.
Right.
You know, so, and that's kind of a good rule to live by. The holding on to it in case I need it, that's what gives you the clutter.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a screwdriver or something.
Right. Yeah, so this TV show was based on a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. Have you guys heard of that book or the book that sort of is a spoof on it called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F?
No.
Okay. I have. Yeah,
yeah, and basically it's simplify your life and you'll be happier is the basic mantra. And to your point, Steve, Pierre does this thing, and we all know Pierre can be incredibly disorganized, but he has somebody that comes over that helps him, and it's two piles. Yes, no, and then if you can't decide in a very short and certain amount of time, it goes into the no pile. It gets tossed. And so if you want it, keep it. But if you don't and you can't decide whether or not you're going to keep it, That means you shouldn't keep it.
Kathy, I thought of you yesterday because I'm going in sections in our unfinished side and taking things out and setting it all out. And I'm going to have my wife look at it and say, yes, no, whatever. So I went through it. You know, I got through like all of our suitcases, and all of our camping equipment, all this stuff. And we have several coolers. So we had like three large coolers. We don't need three large coolers.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have some smaller ones. So I'm looking at these. I'm going, which one is Rochelle not going to have a problem with? You know, us getting rid of. And so I start opening the lids, and one of them has a separate lid on top. It's got a separate compartment in the lid itself.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I go, okay, and I pop it open.
Oh, God.
And I would like to do carbon dating.
Oh, God.
On how long this sandwich has been.
Oh, my. Man. What kind of sandwich?
Wawa. The wrapper is still on. That's why I thought of you, God. Because of your rotting, maggot-filled sandwich. You had it in your stroller the one time.
Probably doesn't even stink anymore.
It doesn't. Yeah. It's black. It has turned.
It's become petrified.
Everything is. Yes, it has become black. And it, Casey, it does smell a little moldy.
Okay.
But that's it.
And what did it taste like?
What? Oddly enough, pastrami.
It was pastrami.
Yeah.
It was.
They don't even sell pastrami at Wawa. And that's what
everything
you get when
becomes
ham
pastrami.
Sits there for years.
Yeah. But also, you probably had it because it sealed up a bit. It was masking the degrading odor.
Or it just sat there for. We didn't go to that part of the basement for a year,
don't
and the
go
actual
in
there. The stink came and went.
Where? What are you doing here?
Things don't stink forever.
No one goes into
that should
part
be the name of
it.
My book. The stink. Things don't stink forever.
Here to promote his new book, Things Don't Stink Forever. Yeah. Radio personality Preston Elliott.
So I did a massive, massive, massive decluttering 2 summers ago in preparation for my mom moving in.
Yes.
And so she lives in the basement. There's an ensuite in the basement, and that's where she is. So in order to get ready, it actually started in what you would classically call the office in my house,
yes,
which is now like a TV room. But like in order to get ready for my mom to be in the basement, I had to clean the office. And then the office turned into, then it was the garage, and then it was a closet, and then I was able to actually tackle the basement.
Do you know?
It was crazy.
Do you know what? Well,
and it took
once you start doing it, we moved into this house. When you move from a house to a new house, and we have a lot more space in this new house, however, but newer, it's been about a year and a half now. But you, by going through this process and going through it more consistently, it also keeps you from, you know, buying things that you, do I really need this?
Because,
because you pre-put it through that mental process.
And and also, you might already have one of those things.
Yeah.
And you didn't know it.
Like, I just realized, just saying to Chuck D'Amico, that I'm on a moratorium now from my Batman. I have stuff coming in, and, like, I got a confirmation of an order I forgot placing.
Oops.
So I'm like, oh, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm curtailing that. I'm going. You went on the year the month of sober. What is it or whatever?
Sober January.
January.
Yeah.
Batman-less January. Okay. However, they'll still be coming, but I'm not ordering any new ones.
But you could go to Goodwill. You have like Nana's Addict is one. Purple Heart is like a Christian or Catholic based one.
They're great.
And then also I have one. I think they have storefronts, but they're also they're set up in my Home Depot parking lot. It's called Green Drop.
Yeah, I go to that one.
Yeah, that one for me is the most convenient.
Green Drop is great because it's really organized. Not that the others aren't, but they will break it down by category. So you can bring over electronics. You can bring over old movies. You can bring over clothes, furniture, whatever.
Yeah. Do you know what I do? Well, so because I do a lot of hiking, and I have the hiking boots that start to wear down. Yeah. Now, for my level of hiking, they're not good anymore, but for just regular walking around and comfortable shoes that are warm, I will take them over to Goodwill and they refurb them, and it's good to know they carry on and people can use them.
Yeah, there are certain aspects of my life that are uncluttered, and then other aspects that are like
clutter city.
My closet in my bedroom is perfect,
right? But your S&M room.
My S&M room. No. You have to keep
stuff
that perfect.
Everywhere.
You have to keep that perfect, Steve, because you don't want your whips near your switches. I mean, they're essentially the same thing, but, you know.
You don't want your sub to turn around and walk right out.
Uh-uh. No way. Uh-uh.
What part of your life is in disarray? Because you said your closet is perfect, but.
I'm trying to think. Actually.
The bathroom?
Right now, it's okay.
Okay.
But we just kind of decluttered.
I heard you complaining about your bathroom before.
Well, it's just because it's the place where everybody, I mean, the
poops.
Whole,
Like, I walked in to go to bed last night, and my daughter was coming out of the bathroom, out of the shower, and I'm like, you have your own bathroom. But you have the better shampoo.
Then what you do is you take the shampoo into your shower.
But anyhow, I was not aware of the show, so I'm going to have to check this out.
I will have to check it out.
Yeah, and apparently, I'd said the D.C. locations are up 66%.
Well, that's good news.
But in a town called Gaithersburg, Maryland, reports are up to 372%.
Wow.
Donations to Goodwill. So apparently this is it's making a little bit of waves.
When did you move into your house, Press?
2005.
Okay, so it's been a little while. Do you remember the process of moving, of getting your old house cleaned out in order to get ready to your new house? Did you use the same type of methodology where it's like, okay, I just
arson?
No, because my wife did this and she had found that, you know, the art of moving online or whatever.
No,
where she tackled one thing a day. Like,
no, what we did is because we were moving from an apartment or a townhouse to a home. Or wait, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you were in...
No. We were already in a house at that time. We had so much junk. Rather than go through cleaning it out, we rented a storage space to stick it all until we sold the house.
Okay.
And then we dealt with it later on. So
you're able to sort of parse it out.
Yeah. But no, we've been in a cleaning mode, so I'll need to watch this. By the way, this is I think this is junk drawer.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. It's junkless drawer.
I have a few different things that I wouldn't mind.
Literally cleaning out your junk drawer.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, my God. It's beautiful.
It's all a theme. The Namib Coastal Desert in Africa now contains a permanent sound installation which will play Toto's classic song Africa
on
a loop for all time.
For all time, Kathy.
Or as long as it can. So
the rig is set up.
Namibian artist Max Seidentoff created an art piece which will apparently play forever with solar batteries to keep Toto going for all eternity, he said.
And you know what? That original version of the song is still my favorite.
Did you know the 1982 song was the most streamed song of 2017?
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? Has over 440 million views on YouTube. Yes, it's become a joke. And it happened kind of slowly.
Yeah.
But I was at my son's choir performance, and the a cappella men's group did a jokey riff on this. They included it in like a Christmas type song, and all of a sudden they start doing Toto or Africa from Toto. I'm like, okay, I wonder how quickly this is going to burn out, but apparently it's been a joke for a little while.
It still is melodic enough to get me when I hear the original Toto version.
So the 27-year-old artist said, I wanted to pay the song the ultimate homage and physically exhibit Africa in Africa. He said some Namibians love it, and some say it's probably the worst sound installation ever. And I think that's a great compliment. It is contained in an undisclosed spot in the 55-million-year-old Namib Desert with 6 speakers attached to an MP3 player with just the classic song on it. He added that he hopes that the song will play for another 55 million years. So I guess he's got it set up. He said most parts of the installation were chosen to be as durable as possible, but I'm sure the harsh environment of the desert will devour the installation eventually.
So you'll probably get some years out of it, though.
Yeah.
It looks pretty solid.
But we don't know where it is.
Yes. He won't reveal it.
Yeah, I think he's keeping that secret, but it's supposedly out in the, you know, way out there in a remote area. So
imagine you're like, something goes wrong and you're out in the desert there. You have no idea this is going on.
And then
you're playing music. I'm near a city.
Yeah.
I'm near a town. Oh, my. You go over a sand dune and there's just these things.
Yep. I must do what's right. The little art exhibit in honor of Toto. I have not seen any responses from the band or anyone involved with the writing of that song as of yet.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. Let me see what else I got here.
More in the junk drawer. Your newly cleaned and organized junk drawer.
Billboards, large advertisements, obviously, but Taco Bell Canada has changed all of that. On Saturday, the chain will actually be serving up a nacho cheese taste test on the billboard. It's a launch for the Naked Cheese Chicken Chalupa for Taco Bell.
Naked Cheese Chicken Chalupa. I like where you're going with this.
But apparently you'll be able to get the cheese out of the billboard.
How?
You got to climb up. I guess there's a spigot story.
On it. They wouldn't risk that. There's probably some sort of spigot or something the billboard.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, or else they'd be looking at a massive lawsuit.
Some type of spigot that's on the billboard itself.
God, do you remember when they always used to have cheese spigots on billboards?
Oh, man. And then why did they ever stop?
Why did they stop?
Hey, I'm just glad they're bringing it back.
The display will
thanks, Nixon.
Start on January the 19th.
I'm tired of cheese spigots on billboards.
This weekend and run through from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. or while supplies last. So it's a gimmicky little thing.
I like the inventiveness, though.
What did I see? There was another gimmicky thing where KFC, you know, they have bowls that they serve. They're offering up bowl haircuts.
Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not so good. I look at the I love KFC. I love just the basic, regular, classic
original recipe.
Yes, original recipe. But you look at some of their like the bowls. It's chicken, potatoes.
It's the most calorie laden thing you can eat,
and a cookie.
Yeah.
There's nothing remotely green.
No.
In that at all.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
I mean, I'm not dissing. I'm just saying.
No, it's yummy. No question. But if you're looking for redeeming nutrition, probably not going to find it.
Well, you know, KFC is my It's for a number of years. I trade between like Primo's and KFC for my Super Bowl.
For what you'll serve.
Right.
That
yeah.
Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are two good choices.
You
get both.
Yeah, you're right.
That's you can live. Do a bucket of chicken.
Life is short.
A couple Primo's.
Yeah.
All right, let me see what else I got here. A rare super wolf blood moon has been the harbinger for some theories about the Bible predicting the end of the world. And the stunning moon appears only 28 times in a century.
Is this the moon that creates the flying wolf from Rampage?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
It's going to be January 21st. That's the next one.
I love the name. I don't know what the hell it is, but I love the name.
Its strange color has given rise to numbers of prophecies of doom. It happens 28 times every 100 years, so, you know, it's not like it's once in a millennia.
Yeah, so get off our backs.
So some see the blood moon as a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, and a string of apocalyptic books have been published about the phenomenon. Perhaps the best known is what's called Four Blood Moons, Something is About to Change, in which author John Hagee suggests the event could be a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. Also predicting doom are Blood Moons, Decoding the Imminent Heavenly Signs by Mark Biltz, and Blood Moons Rising, Bible Prophecy, Israel, and the Four Blood Moons by Oklahoma pastor Mark Hitchcock.
The four blood moons shall be seen at night, and the fire shall lick the sky. My name is...
Arthur Brown.
Well, you know what else could be a sign is nacho cheese from a spigot on a billboard.
Oh, my God, the cheese is flowing from the billboard.
Megachurch pastor Hagee.
Come quickly, padre. Your Domine Sanctus Vitae Fortius.
Megachurch pastor Hagee.
A little Latin for you.
Wrote that the red disks of the moon during the full eclipses are referred to in the book of Joel 2:31. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come.
And yea, they shall lay down with the elk. And produce a creature born in the fires of hell. My name is
Arthur Brown.
It instills fear.
It does instill fear. I love when the moon appears to be different colors.
Nick, do you have what the description of the blood moon is? The wolf blood moon? Super wolf blood moon.
Super blood. You can't kill it with bullets.
No.
Silver bullets.
Does it explain?
I guess it's a kind of an eclipse. And so, I mean, it's
kind of an eclipse.
Yeah, it's happening next week. It's...
Yes.
I don't know when I'm supposed to talk.
Jump in.
You can talk now.
Okay.
And I will parrot what you say.
It's not that rare. Leap years happen more frequently. Less frequently. It's a lunar eclipse. The end.
And my name is Arthur Brown.
But it's not even going to be visible from this part of the U.S.
Anymore. Oh, well, then where do we got to go?
See, that's
you know what?
Road trip.
You can only see these in part of the world.
To quote Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon, kiss me because I like to be kissed when I'm getting effed.
From Eastern Cuba, you can watch it and it'll be directly overhead. So road trip.
Listen, if you're going to damn the entire world should be able to see the damn thing. Acts 2:20.
That's beautiful.
Echoes. Thank you. Acts 2:20 echoes the same doom. It says the sun.
I ax you.
That was all right. 2:20.
ACTS.
Oh.
Oh, it will be over
it's
a holiday
a book
weekend.
In the Bible. What's that?
It'll be over a holiday weekend, so people will be able to stay up late on Sunday night if they have MLK Day.
It's going to be over a Holiday Inn.
No. Well, it'll. I mean, depend if the Holiday Inn's in Eastern Cuba, then you're good to go.
So this is only visible to what part of the world, Preston?
Nick. We'll tell you.
Eastern Europe, Central Europe, before dawn on Monday, the 21st.
So visibility on this part of the globe, not for then another 25 years?
We won't get complete totality.
By the way, so
totally.
Acts 2:20 says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord.
Wow.
And this is...
If you could just get me back to Oz, that's all I need.
I believe that the heavens are God's billboard that he has been sending signals to planet Earth, but we...
It says billboard in the Bible?
Yeah. No, but we just have not been picking them up. He has said.
Hey, does God's billboard have nacho cheese in it?
I don't know, but, well, of course.
And yea, God's billboard shall flow forth with cheese.
He predicted a rapture will occur where Christians will be taken to heaven, Israel will go to war in a great battle called Armageddon, and Jesus will return to earth. His book reached number 4 in the New York Best Times.
And dogs shall play poker.
The New York Times bestseller list in the advice how-to section, but his predictions were less successful.
So the wolf moon is the full moon in January, which has to do with Native American culture. The blood moon has to do with the fact that it's a lunar eclipse. And
the super moon
is that it's Schneider. Close. No, it's very close.
No, okay, yeah, it's as close to Earth as it will be. So that's why super wolf blood moon.
Combination of all three.
Dude. Yeah.
Band name.
That is super...
Wolf
blood moon.
I've never heard of one of those before.
That is awesome.
Hey, okay. Can you guys answer me this question? Why is it, because there was a huge moon not that long ago when I was coming out of the Lawrence Park Shopping Center.
That's a big moon.
It was a big moon. It was a gigantic moon. And then I turned left, and then I turned right down Lawrence Road. I mean, I was only a quarter of a mile away from where I saw it, and it was huge. And then in, I don't know, 30 seconds and a quarter mile... It shrunk.
That's because a spell. No, you know.
A spell.
Here's the thing.
I shall make the moon smaller and confuse you, the simple-minded.
No, Gru got up there with his shrink ray and finally shrank it.
Oh, man.
No, what happens is, and I know we've mentioned this before, Nick, and I know that you concurred with this, but the moon, as it appears larger on the horizon... sometimes you'll be up early in the morning, you'll see that big, gorgeous yellow moon. You're like, wow, that's stunning. That is huge.
Woof.
It actually, when it's way up high and seems tiny, is exactly the same size as when it is on the horizon. It's your perspective has changed. Now, I remember hearing theories that is the curvature of the atmosphere that causes it to do like a concave mirror, or maybe it's convex mirror. Anyhow, to make it seem larger. But it actually, if you take something... that you hold at an arm's length that will be the exact same size as the moon in the air or up high in the sky. If you held it down low where it seems so gigantic, that same piece will be the exact same size as what you've seen. Your perspective has changed because you now have features on the horizon to compare it to, which make it seem larger. When it's way up high at an angle, it just appears smaller because there's nothing around it to compare it inside.
It's all perspective.
That's what I've read, and I've seen several different things that say that. So, Casey, wherever you turned and looked, you may have had a clearer view with there weren't any other obstacles that were in close proximity to that, and your perception of it changed a little bit.
Okay.
So
smart.
There you go.
It has to do with the super wolf.
And the super wolf. Oh? Okay. So anyhow,
I am fascinated by this. I love these celestial occurrences.
Yeah.
So we'll get some views of it. Just the best views are in Eastern Cuba. So, but this weekend, which is a holiday weekend, For a lot of people, you'll be able to see it Sunday night into Monday morning, including this part of the country.
By the way, in the morning, and I haven't checked to see which planet it is, but there is a very bright planet.
It's Venus.
Is it Venus?
Yeah, I mean, it's
super
beautiful.
Badger.
It's the third
it's
brightest.
What? It's a super badger.
Super badger.
It's
The third brightest object in the sky. If you ever see anything that is that bright, it's almost always going to be Venus.
Yeah, sometimes it's sometimes you'll see Mars or Jupiter, yeah. And but this is big and bright, so it looks gorgeous. I've been seeing that every morning.
Wow.
All right. Anyhow, that's it. Thank you. Cleaned out the junk drawer.
Yeah.
Per the cleaning maiden, whatever her name is, from that Netflix show.
Right, Marie something.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. One more chance to get a free tattoo from the Preston and Steve show. A Preston and Steve tattoo, mind you. Text the word tattoo, T-A-T-T-O-O, to 39333. Might get chosen to get a $350 gift card for world-famous Philadelphia 80s tattoo to go and get the tattoo done on us. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Starting 2019 with a bang, WMMR presents Disturbed.
Are you ready?
Indoors, February 18th at the Big Joint. With 3 days grace to open the show.
MMR's got your shot at a backstage experience to have a few kicks. Oh, wow. With a pre-show foosball game with the band and a trip to raid the merch booth. Click contests at WMMR.com and let us know how disturbed you are to win this prize. The deadline to get your name in the hat is January 20th.
Tickets on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Disturbed with 3 days grace, January 18th at the Big Joint. Presented by 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Round number two for you here, folks, brought to you by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom with Drexel University's Test Drive. From February 11th through the 15th, you'll experience what it is like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. It's pretty messed up. The parents of a man whose body had been decomposing for 38 days inside a supportive living facility are suing the nonprofit owner, its former director, and several employees for negligence and improper handling of a body. Yvonne Kettler Walls.
Now, wait a second. What's your proof?
Said that she, well, the decomposing body. She felt compelled to file the suit on behalf of her late son, 27-year-old Rayolik Walls, after a state investigation into Hudson Mohawk Recovery Center and its staff concluded that neglect had occurred, but no one. It held no one accountable in a meaningful way. Rayolik first checked into the Recovery Center's residential program for men in November 2017 after completing a treatment program for drug addiction. On December 3rd, he spoke with his family, but when no one had heard from him 6 days later, his aunt visited the facility. A staff member told her that Rayolik had actually left several days earlier. Okay, so the family became worried. They filed a missing persons report. They began searching all over for him to no avail. And on January 11th, more than a month later, they learned the truth. He had never left the facility. A pest control worker entered his room and found his body on the bed. He'd been there.
God.
The entire time.
And
in
no
his
one,
room.
No one was tending to him.
Dead and decomposing. Ooh.
Sweet mother of God.
The condition of the body made it difficult for medical examiners to determine the cause of death. Toxicology tests found no traces of illicit drugs in his system. It's believed that his heart stopped.
Listen, we have something to tell you, and it's actually funny when you hear. I mean, the absurdity of it is bound to at least get a chuckle.
Oh, my God.
We forgot about him.
So this guy died of natural causes, and they just...
Yeah.
They just didn't... They never went in his room.
But when I tell you the stink, you're not smiling.
To this day, Wall says she doesn't know how long her son's body could have been gone undetected or how it could have happened for so long.
There's no reason for him to have passed away.
Yeah, well, I don't know. About
unless he, it sounds like he passed away from neglect.
What, no. He died probably of a natural cause, and then they just They just never went in to check on him. He wasn't sick or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
It was a drug treatment program.
I see.
He's recovering from that.
All
so,
right. Well, then everything works out.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Oh, you're right.
They should have gone in and checked on just the guy. For going out
occasionally.
Loud.
I think the rule at any place like this is check on the patients once every 6 months.
So anyhow, the family is seeking unspecified damages in the case.
Wow.
David Kalish was considering renting out his 400-square-foot apartment from that was behind his home. As an Airbnb, when his friend Troy Good mentioned that his daughter's cats needed a place to stay as they weren't allowed in her college dorm room. The result, Good agreed to pay Kalish to rent the apartment for the two kittens named Tina and Louise.
I love this.
The cost is $1,500 a month.
$1,500 a month for two cats.
And Kalish does feed, and he feed them, and he plays with them as well. Somebody's
got some disposable income.
Homelessness advocacy groups are saying that the story is funny, but that it does kind of highlight the tremendous inequity in the area, as more than 4,300 people in San Jose are without a home. But the guy's paying rent, $1,500 for two cats to live in an apartment.
I can't talk. I have no grounds to stand on here.
But eventually, the daughter is going to get the cats, or she might even move in there. I'm not really sure. A blind woman was told to get her effing dog off a bus by a passenger who didn't believe that guide dogs could be any other color than yellow.
It's not a guide dog. That's not yellow.
That's what this woman thought. Yeah. Megan Taylor was on the bus with her guide dog, Rowley, when the unnamed woman approached her and said, "Why is there an effing dog on the bus? Get it off." When Megan tried to politely explain that Rowley was an assistance dog, she claimed that the woman called her a liar.
Nice try, bitch.
Because guide dogs are yellow Labradors and your dog is black. She said, "I tried to explain to her that guide dogs and assistance dogs can be any color and don't have to be Labradors, although Rowley is a Labrador." She told me I was wrong, she said. I decided at this point there was nothing that I could say to educate this woman and that it wasn't worth my time.
Other than just give the kill command.
I instead chose to ignore her while she continued to talk nonsense.
I mean, come on, it's not bad enough. You gotta, you know, you bring the dog around and all that stuff to negotiate through your life. I mean, it's a wonderful friendship and so on and so forth, but you gotta defend her right to have a guide dog.
And the blind person is explaining color,
right?
Yeah.
She said the incident on Monday was not the first time that she's been abused on public transportation. Has left her anxious to go on the bus again. She said, "I don't think I've ever had a stress-free trip on public transport, and that's why I'm so nervous when using it now." Rowley helps Megan on a day-to-day basis and can even phone for help if Megan passes out. So apparently this woman believes that all guide dogs have to be yellow.
I think she needs to get a guide Rottweiler.
And that is what I have for him. Sorry, it's a quickie in the Bizarre File this morning. Let's take another break. Come back in a second. We'll have a lesson question ready to go and do some giveaways. Trash and Music News is coming up, too, so stay there. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
News. The Record Company. I got this love to fix. Threw it all out in a ditch. Fozzy.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Pierre, not in today, so we'll see who's filling in. Maybe Robin's back in today.
Oh, Robin's great.
Not really sure. We'll find out a little bit later on. In the meantime, have a question to ask you that might get you a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings play. It's our lesson question, and I have to go with this. According to Steve, Carol Channing died free climbing which mountain in Yosemite? 215-263-WMMR. According to Steve, Carol Channing died, and she was doing it free climbing which mountain that you'll find in Yosemite National Park? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know. Give us a call, and while we are awaiting that call, we shall do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you this morning by Dunkin' Donuts. The best twos are Dunkin' Go Twos. Two egg and cheese wraps for $2. Two bagels with cream cheese spread for $4. Two bacon, egg, and cheese croissants for $5. Preston and Steve, run on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Exclusions apply. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos saying he doesn't blame Lauren Sanchez for revealing their affair and effectively ending his marriage to Mackenzie Bezos. said Bezos, quote, how can you stay mad at someone who has $60 billion P-Tang?
Oh, my God.
Mike, the situation Sorrentino will begin his almost year-long prison sentence just weeks after marrying Lauren Pesci. Pesci has promised she won't have sex with other men, while Sorrentino says he might not have a choice.
Hey!
And finally, Tristan Thompson and his wife, Chloe, were spotted leaving Craig's in West Hollywood, walking hand in hand to their car. Chloe says she loves holding hands with Tristan because that's one hand less to use finger blasting tub girls.
That's your Hollywood trash. All righty, let's find a winner here. We're looking for the answer to this question. According to Steve, Carol Channing died free climbing what mountain? I'm going to go to John, see if he knows. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning.
John, what mountain was it?
Was it El Capitan?
El Capitan. Yeah. Yeah, hang on, John. We are going to give you a pair of vouchers to see the Philadelphia Wings. And the Wings are back. You can join the party and expect the unexpected. You can visit wingslax.com to buy your game tickets today. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
All right, music news brought to you by the Pennsylvania Ear Institute of Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. The expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. Info at salusuhealth.com/PEI. The Killers have released a politically charged new song. It is called Land of the Free, which frontman Brandon Flowers criticizes Donald Trump's proposed border wall, institutional racism, and the country's failure to introduce substantial gun control reform. Spike Lee actually directed the video for the track, which features real-life footage of immigrant families at the border. The Killers gave the filmmaker full creative control for the clip, which he filmed over a few weeks towards the end of this past year.
In the video, it also makes a point that there's never enough pita for the hummus you're given.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
There's always hummus left over. You are correct. And then sometimes you have to use your finger to
get
in there.
Yeah, and mind you, I know on the list of things that's in the video, that's not the most important, but it does impact.
That doesn't mean it isn't important.
It does, exactly.
The Killers' last LP, Wonderful Wonderful, came out in 2017. It is not clear if Land of the Free is taken from a new record or is being issued as a standalone single. British band Foals are returning in 2019 with not one, but two new albums. The band shared a teaser video on Monday confirming the first LP, Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost Part 1, will arrive on March 8th, followed by Part 2 sometime this fall. So a lot of music coming from Foals out this year. At this point, no further details about Everything Not Saved Will Be Lost have been announced, nor has the band previewed or released any new music from the project. Foals will also be on tour this year, although for now they've mainly announced festivals, so we don't know exactly when they'll be swinging into our area. Metallica and Arrogant Consortia, an imprint of Stone Brewing, have announced Enter Night Pilsner, launching in the U.S. now and internationally this spring. Enter Night Pilsner is described as a unique expression of the shared values that have helped define Metallica and Stone Brewing: fiercely independent, transcending genres, shattering preconceptions.
Wow, what a bunch of garbage.
And challenging convention. It's beer,
it's
folks.
Beer. It's beer.
Challenging convention. Shut up!
The members of Metallica and the leadership of Stone participated at every single step alongside the brewing team in crafting the new beverage. Drummer Lars Ulrich said, the amount of ideals and outlooks that Metallica and Stone Brewing share are endless. I'm always blown away about how similar our paths forward have been.
How does it taste?
This collaboration is beyond effortless and pure. And we can't wait to share this incredible beverage with everyone out there.
If Jesus was on Earth right now, this would be his beer of choice.
That's right.
I know it.
Meanwhile, Panic at the Disco has also announced a limited edition beer called IPATD. So IP and then an exclamation point because they use that in the title of the band. IP exclamation point ATD. So it'd be not only At the Disco, but IPA.
Imitated.
India Pale Ale. Blah, blah, blah.
But it's not even India Pale Ale. It's India Panic at the Disco.
Right, exactly.
Wow.
But they're playing off of that.
Did I just blow your mind?
Blew my mind.
Stir great.
Wow.
I got to sit down.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know what? Pine cone.
Pine cone.
The band first brewed a small batch at Asbury Park Brewery in March of last year. And we'll have a new batch available via the brewery beginning January 19th and also at the band's Newark, New Jersey show on the 18th. Jane's Addiction frontman Perry Farrell, Black Sabbath bassist Geezer Butler, and legendary indie act The Melvins have all joined the lineup for Chris Cornell's tribute concert scheduled for this Wednesday, by the way. So tomorrow at the Forum in Los Angeles.
We have the honor of being one of the few shows to send the Melvins into a full state of depression.
Yeah. Well, it was Leif Garrett.
Leif Garrett, yeah.
They weren't as upset. Leif sang for the Melvins. He tried to sing Smells Like Teen Spirit, and he actually left the studio in the middle of it because it was so bad, and he went and sat on the steps and almost cried.
We had to send one of our interns out to console him.
But the Melvins were all good. So Farrell and Butler will reportedly play alongside members of Audioslave, and the show will also feature sets from the surviving members of Soundgarden, plus Metallica, Foo Fighters, and other surprise guests. Okay, so speaking of Foo Fighters, the world's drunkest man found his way on stage during a recent corporate gig that the band played and produced and proceeded to sing along with the group before almost taking out Taylor Hawkins' drum kit. A guy named Jay from Bombay was on stage with the Foos for 7 minutes, during which he even got to share some champagne with Dave Grohl and guitarist Pat Smear. But his assault on the drum kit finally got him the hook from security. I don't know who Jay from Bombay is. Wherever they were, maybe he's just a local idiot, you know, or something like that. But apparently,
maybe he's a local person that they know, everyone knows is Jay from Bombay.
That must be it. But we're looking at footage of him, and he looks like he's leaning way back, and he's drinking some champagne with Dave. And I guess he was just kind of stumbling all over the.
This guy looks like somebody's dad.
Yeah. Well, they let him on stage, and he got yanked off when he tried to take out the drum kit. All right, and then finally, this sounds pretty interesting. Robert Plant will headline the March 7th Love Rocks All-Star Benefit at New York City's Beacon Theater. The third annual event raises money for God's Love We Deliver, which provides curated meals for those living with illness in the New York City area. And among the other artists slated to appear are Sheryl Crow, ZZ Top's Billy F. Gibbons, Taj Mahal, Jimmy Vaughn, Ivan Neville, and former Yankee Bernie Williams, among others, including some surprise guests. In the evening's house band will be musical director Will Lee, Paul Schaefer, Larry Campbell, Steve Gadd, Jeff Young. I mean, some phenomenal musicians.
Is this sort of their version of Mana?
I don't know. It sounds similar to that. The event will be hosted by Whoopi Goldberg and Martin Short. Tickets will go on sale this Friday, January 18th, via Ticketmaster.
Whoopi! Whoopi! That sounds like a... I mean, listen, just to go see the Letterman band, quote unquote, all those people, they're top level musicians.
Yeah, especially Steve Gadd playing drums. That'd be amazing. And then one last thing, this was just announced, that Brian Ferry is coming to Philadelphia to perform. And Brian will be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2019 this year with the band Roxy Music. Yes, he's pretty excited about it. The band, well, not the band, but Brian Ferry performing August 11th at the Met.
I like Brian Ferry.
Tickets are on sale Friday at 10 a.m. And details at WMMR.com for that. Very cool. There you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning.
In the music news.
Or in music news. I'm sorry. I got distracted here. I didn't know we had these to give away.
Yeah, man.
You know what I have?
What?
I have a $50 Best Buy gift card. Why? Yes, I know. Caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up. We'll give you that.
Sometimes you get just blown away.
Yeah. Best Buy gift card. So head to Best Buy Northeast Philly's open house event Saturday from 11 to 3. Are you raising your hand?
I am raising my hand, okay, but after you're done there, Preston.
Discover what's next in tech and home appliances, access exclusive offers, and enter for a chance to win incredible prizes. No purchase necessary to enter. Yes, Casey.
Discovered a new song for you, Steve. It's really an oldie but a goodie, but Already Gone by the Eagles.
Yes. Yeah, that's in there. Yeah, yeah, in there. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Oh, woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah. Okay.
It's a...
Not quite a...
No, it's not a...
Yeah, but, you know, I see what you're going for.
Thanks, man.
All right.
You can't have everything.
I need you to, well, no.
What do you need me to do?
Kristen. I need you to get rid of that. Again. But I did
and
it
then
myself.
Go.
All right, so with that, we're
backed by popular demand.
Go. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second, get ready to wrap things up. Make sure you stay with us.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or anti-social.
Hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
What about done? Not about done. We are done.
We're done.
Talking about. No, wait a minute. We're not done. We're about done because.
We're not done. That's ridiculous.
I need to announce a winner. I did not announce our Tattoo Day winner as of yet. That is correct. And Casey goes, hands me the sheet and goes, congratulate this guy or girl. So I'd like to congratulate the lovely Howard Phelps. Levittown.
Listen, you can't prejudge.
You don't know. Yeah, you're right.
You don't know.
I just didn't look at the name.
Oh,
could be gender fluid.
I thought it was going to be like Ryan or you know a name that could be male or female.
Either way.
But Howard. Maybe there's a lovely. Maybe you have a lovely young niece named Howard.
Howard.
That I'm not aware of.
You never know.
But Howard won a $350 gift certificate for world famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo.
Nice.
For Tattoo Day. We've changed it up a little bit in case you did not know. You no longer have to truck all the way out here at a ridiculous hour in the morning, fighting rush hour traffic and all that stuff. We now send you to Philadelphia Eddie's and you might be able to get a tattoo artist like the top ones, Kyle Fitzpatrick, to give you an example. You can check out his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_. Or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So Howard Phelps from Levittown, congratulations getting a Preston and Steve tattoo. And we will, when he gets the work done, we'll make sure we post that, let you know when it's up and running. You'll be able to see it for yourself.
Doesn't mean at some point you can't come by if you would like to, and we can arrange that at some point. But this is easily the better way to work with all this, especially now as we're doing construction around the facility here.
Yep.
And every room is room you can bleed in now. So.
Yes. thank you to Craig Gass.
Yeah.
Craig did a little early morning visit today, and Craig's going to be performing on Friday. He'll be at Valley Forge Casino, 7:30, and they added a second show, which I think, did he say it was 9:30?
I think it's 9:30.
I'm not 100% sure on that, but you can certainly check by going to vfcasino.com and get the tickets. And Craig's a super nice guy, so it was wonderful to have him by. As I mentioned earlier this morning, Pierre Robert out today. We didn't know who's going to be filling in, and it's the lovely Sarah Parker. Sarah recently promoted to music director.
That's right.
WMMR.
Director of rock.
Yeah, man.
I posted, there was a nice little headline online that said Sarah Parker promoted to WMMR MD. And if you're in the industry, you know exactly what that means. If you're not, you think I just became a doctor.
Yeah.
Inaccurate, unless you want to call me a doctor of rock. No.
Doctor of rock.
I like that. Still pretty significant, right?
I like doctor of rock.
It's no, it's excellent.
So one of the things that we have Pierre do at this point in time is give us a letter of the day. You ready to try this?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
R, as in Doctor of Rock.
Rock. Rock.
All right, so we got two rooms, $200 food voucher, and four tickets to see Don Felder, who's going to be performing at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
He rocks.
In Atlantic City on April 6th. And tickets are on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com, so you will be able to get those starting on Friday. So since Sarah is filling in for Pierre, I'm sure you have some wonderful things planned for today's program.
I have a lot of wonderful things planned for today's program. First of all, I wanted to publicly, on the airwaves, thank you guys. As you mentioned, I got that promotion, and I've been thinking about all the people that have really helped me over these past 10 years. I have been at WMMR for a decade.
Which I know.
10 years, man!
10-0. It's unbelievable. And you guys gave me my start. You were so kind and patient and dealt with every stupid question that I had in the beginning. And I'm sure I was really annoying, but you stuck it out. No. You taught me a lot in many different ways. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I remember you going back before MMR. You had us come out and speak at a panel at Drexel.
With Jim McGuinn.
Yes.
And he emailed me when he saw the headline. I thought that was so cool.
He was the PD over at Y100.
Yeah. That's right. He introduced me to you guys, and the rest is history.
It's history.
Cool, man. Well, congratulations.
Are you going right from this into Jackson?
And, that's right.
Yeah, it's a long shift.
Well, I'm still going to be bugging him every single day just because I have the MD stripes now. Does not mean I'm leaving him.
Right.
I think it would fall apart if I left him, so I had to stay on.
You're going to give away some Who tickets today?
I am going to give away some Who tickets today. They are playing Citizens Bank Park on May 25th. Also have MMR's Go Fund Yourself, 5 chances a day to win a grand, and I have 2 of those chances coming up very shortly, in fact, at 11 a.m. and then again at 2 p.m. And also the Workforce Blocks, Linkin Park, Van Halen, and The Killers. And it's Double Shot Tuesday, so if you have something you want to hear, make sure you text me, 39333.
Very good. It's going to be a great time. Stick with Sarah. I need to thank our sponsors. President and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the President and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International. And Gary Barbera on the Boulevard. Is Barbera the best? Boy, I guess. It's more on the program going live on Fox Good Day. We're also going to do that contest I told you about earlier this morning with the 80s mashup madness.
It'll blow your mind.
That should be fun. I would actually like to play someday.
Do you want to play tomorrow?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yes, we have to do it.
But tomorrow we'll do some giveaways in conjunction with that and some other stuff. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
We need a new washer because one of these pieces of shit that work on computers. You know, why can't you have a washer like we've always had from the 70s? They work fine. Easy to repair. For God's sake, you can't even find a good vibrator nowadays that don't last more than 3 months before it burns out. It's like... and then that dies.
Next message.
My wife's pregnant and her boobs are getting huge.
Next message.
To all you heads walking around Westchester with a damn blindfold on like you're in a dirt box, you're going to get hurt. Get out of the damn road.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.